ജനയം മുഷുപാൽ പരമഹംസ പരിപാലാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തര ശതശ്ശരി ശ്രീമാൻ അഭിചരണാരവിന്ദ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത ഗോസ്വാമി മഹർഷിയുടെ പ്രഭുപാദ ജയം ശ്രീരാ പ്രവിഷ്ണ വിഷ്ണുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിപ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തര ശതശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ ഭക്തസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വ മഹർഷിയുടെ പ്രഭുപാദ നന്ദകോടി വൈഷ്ണവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് രാമാചാര്യ ശ്രീ ഹരിദാസ് ഠാക്കൂർക്ക് സ്വയം സഹോ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗര ഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ശ്രീ ശ്രീ രാധാകൃഷ്ണ ഗോപഗോപിനാഥ ശ്യാമകുണ്ട രാധാകുണ്ട ഗിരി ഗോവർദ്ധാനയ്ക്ക് വൃന്ദാവൻ ധാമയ്ക്ക് മായപ്പൂർ ധാമയ്ക്ക് മധുരപുരി ധാമയ്ക്ക് ജഗന്നാഥ്പുരി ധാമയ്ക്ക് ദ്വാരകാപുരി ധാമയ്ക്ക് ഗംഗമായിക്ക് ഗംഗമായിക്ക് തുളസി ദേവിക്ക് ഭക്തി ദേവിക്ക് സമയ ഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ഓ പ്രേമനന്ദ ഓ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ഡിസംബറിൽ ഓ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ഡിസംബറിൽ ഓ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ഡിസംബറിൽ ഓ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ഓ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ശ്രീ 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 ഓ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ശ്രീ പ്രഭുപാദ നമാമിഷുപലായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഗുരുദേശവേ ഭക്തിവിനാന്ദ സ്വാമിനിധി നാമിനി നമസ്തേ സരസ്വദേവം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരണി എന്ന വിശേഷൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യദേശധാരിണി ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതി വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതി വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതി വാസുദേവായ
ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 We share Uga Darshana Yoga. That is the universal form what we are discussing now. And we talked about these two verses, which was verse 32 and 33, isn't it? Yeah, 32 was Sri Bhagavan Vacha, Krishna is saying to Arjuna, Kalosmi Loga Kshetra Pravardhaha. లోకాన్ సమాహర్తుమిహ ప్రవృతాః తదేవిత్వాన్ భవిష్యన్ని సర్వే ఏ అవస్థిత ప్రత్యనీగేషు యోధ దెన్ తస్మాత్తు ఉత్తిష్ట యశోల్లభస్వ జిత్వా శత్రుం దూషరాజ్యం సమర్థం మయే వేదే నిహితాం పూర్వమేవ నిమిత్త మాత్రం భవ సవ్యసాచిన్. దట్ ఈస్ ది టూ వర్సెస్ వి వర్ డిస్కసింగ్ లాస్ట్ సండే అండ్ వి సో దట్ కృష్ణస్ ప్లాన్స్ ఆర్ అన్నోన్ టు ఎవ్రీవన్ ఓన్లీ గ్రేట్ డివోటీస్ లైక్ విదుర like Vibhishana, they know what will happen when Krishna interferes in something very seriously. You can say that in the Ramayanam and as well as in the Mahabharatam, there are two personalities whose absence from the kingdom has created a big vacuum. Just like when Vidura walked away from the palace, Sudeva Goswami says all the satsangam is finished in Hastinapur. The satsangam is over. Because only while Vidura was present in Hastinapur, there was some discussion about the self-realization, or there was some serious interest among the Dhritarashtra, Kundidevi and others who were present there. They were very curious to know from Vidura about the Absolute Truth. They had some genuine interest. So once Vidura walked out from there, when he realized that Dhritarashtra is not willing to listen to anymore, he walked away from there. What does Sudeva Goswami says about that? In the Srimad Bhagavatam, if you look, you will see, actually Hastinapur has not lost its will. Hastinapur has lost all its consciousness. That's how he puts it. The very consciousness of Hastinapur has walked out, he says. In the same thing, in Ramayanam you will see when Vibhishana left the palace of Ravana. Vibhishana was the only person who spoke to Ravana to come to senses and to act properly. When Vibhishana walked out, Valmiki says exactly the same thing. That there is no more anyone to give any good advice to Ravana. There is no more any Krishna conscious way of thinking or Krishna consciousness way of living anymore existing there. So this is what happens in the history, you can see all the time. When there is no satsangam, when there is no discussion from Bhagavad Gita, Ramayanam, Bhagavatam, automatically people will lose their spiritual consciousness. They will fall into materialistic way of life and all materialistic thoughts will take control of it. This is the normal situation. Actually, many times devotees also ask the same question. Well, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is very, very merciful, so therefore why we have to go through all this Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, it's too much to hear and to think and to act like that. But the thing is that if you understand what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying properly, you can't pick and choose what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has said. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also gave us this 8 verses, isn't it, of Shikshashtakam. Now, if you read Shikshashtakam properly, you will notice what does Shikshashtakam says to us. Shikshashtakam tells us certain things. If all those things are followed, because both to chant the holy name, chant Hare Krishna, and Shikshashtakam, both has come from the same face, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's face. You can't take one and say the rest I will leave it. That you can't do. In any spiritual practice, it is like that. Whatever the founder of the institution, or the preceptor, or the acharya has instructed, it must be taken 100% on board. You can't pick and choose, this I will do, the other one I can't do it. So, and make excuses. That's not possible. If you read that Shikshashtakam, what does Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says? If you read the first and second, first verse talks about the Chedo Darpanam Arjanam, Bhava Mahadava Agni Nirvavanam, you know, Shreyakkaido Chandrika Vidaranam, Vidhyavadu Jeevanam, the glories of the holy name is spoken in that. And that's fine. Anandam Pradivardhanam, Pradipadam, Purnam Dasvadanam, Sarvatna Subhanam, Param Vijayade, Shri Krishna Sankirtanam. That is the first verse. In the second verse, he talks about Namnamagari Bhuda Nija Sarva Shakti, Tatra Pida Naimidas Marmena Gala, Edadrisham Dabuka Bhagavan Mamami, Buddhaiva Midrisham Hajani Na Anuraga. He says there, Krishna has put all his potency into the holy name and please provide me, praying to Krishna. Mahaprabhu is saying there, Edadrisham Dabuka Bhagavan Mamami, unfortunately I do not have any attraction for the holy name. Two verses have gone like that. After that, what does he say in the Shikshashtakam? You must look at that because Trinaravi Shuni Jaina Karoravi Sahishtuna Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari. So these three conditions, what are they? Trinaravi Shuni Jaina. Trinaravi Shuni Jaina means humbled in the grass, isn't it? Karoravi Sahishtuna, able to tolerate everything under all conditions. Amanina Manadena, never to think of oneself superior to anybody else, thinking oneself to be lower than the straw in the street and lower than anyone else, Kirtaniya Sadahari. One can chant the holy name. So, let's go through that. Then after that, what is the next verse? Nadhanam, Najanam, Nasundarim, Kavidamva Jagadisha Kameye, Mama Janmani Janmanishwari Bhavadar Bhakti Ahaitu Gitvayi. So, Nadhanam, Najanam, Nasundarim, no wealth, no followers, no beautiful women, all these kinds of material desires, Kavidamba Jagadisha Kamaye, they are driving us into Maya, in other words. Therefore, Mama Janmini Janmini Ishwari, life after life, Bhavadar, Bhakti, Ahiridu Gitvai, let me have uninterrupted Bhakti, continuous flow of Bhakti, life after life towards you. This is Mahaprabhu's prayers to Krishna, isn't it? Then, what does he say after that? Ayananda Tanuja Kinkaram, Patidamam, Vishame Bhavam Budho, Kubaya, Tava Pada Pandajasti the Duli, Sudrasham Vijindaya. That Ayananda Tanuja Kinkaram, Patidamam, Vishame Bhavam Budho, I have fallen into this material state of existence. Please show some mercy unto me, Kubaya, Tava Pada Duli, Sudrasham Vijindaya. Let me make me a dust at your lotus feet. Then?
Nayanam
gala ashudhaya vadanam gadgadarubdhaya gira pulagir nijidam kalavabu tamam nama grihane bhavishyati. Mahaprabhu is saying that when will it happen that the tears will flow from my eyes and when will I get choked by chanting the holy name out of my love for Krishna? When will my body will be completely affected by the emotions of the holy name? Tavanama grahane bhavishyati, by chanting your holy name. And what is the next one? Ivaidam nimeshena chakshusha pravishayidam shunyayidam jagat sarvam govinda virahename. That means, Ivaidam nimeshena, a whole yugam appears as though like a small second, a second. You learn Chakshusha Pravishayidam, that the closure of the eyes is like that. ശൂന്യായാലും ജഗത് സർവം, ദ ഹോൾ വേൾഡ് ലുക്സ് എംപ്റ്റി, ഗോവിന്ദ വിരഹേണമേ ഇൻ ദി ആബ്സെൻസ് ഓഫ് കൃഷ്ണ കോൺഷ്യസ്നെസ്. ദെൻ ഹി സേസ് ആശ്ലേഷ്യവ പാദ്രതാം പിനഷ്ടുമാൻ അദർശനം മമഹതാം കരോത്വ യഥാതഥാവ വിധാതിലംബിടോ മത്പ്രാണനാഥാസ്തു നേവനാപര. That means whether you accept me or whether you reject me, you trample me under your feet or you embrace me. Mahaprabhu is saying to Krishna, Marmahadam Karuva, Yathatadhava Vidhatadambada, whatever you may do unto me, Matprana Nathasura Evanapara, you are still my Lord. This is how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu mentioned these 8 verses, and he told us you chant Hare Krishna with this in mind. So, in order to get all these things mentioned in the Shikshashtaram, these requirements of a devotee to chant the holy name properly, we have to understand how to come to that stage. It doesn't happen overnight. It won't. It's not possible. Overnight, we won't become pure devotees and come to this state, what Mahaprabhu is saying there. And only under these conditions, if chanting is executed, the effect will be there. Otherwise, it could be a long haul. Very, very long haul. If we ignore it, take part of Mahaprabhu's words, and the rest if we ignore it, you have to take Shikshashtakam as seriously as chanting the holy name. There's no question about that. That is how in spiritual life it is. If you accept any acharya, you have to accept him wholeheartedly, completely surrender unto him. And without that surrender, it won't happen. It simply won't happen. So that is why we sometimes, for our own, we say that in Kali Yuga everything is impossible. It's not possible to study all the Shastram and to follow all the principles and to conduct properly in Dharma. All these things we say it's not possible. Of course, it is difficult, agree, it is a difficult situation in this time, but at the same time, these things are necessary, without which that what Mahaprabhu is saying there, Trinara Vishunijana won't happen, Tarorabhi Sahishna will not happen. And it's just by simply repeating the words is no good, that doesn't solve the problem. So, it is in this context, you have to understand that Bhagavad Gita is the very science of the soul, very science of the soul. If we do not study Bhagavad Gita well, our spiritual life will, what is called, it will start falling off the track. Because it is this, Samasta Vedartha Sara Sangraha Bhutam, Ajaya Swami says about Bhagavad Gita. What does that mean? It means that all the Vedic literature, Samastha Vedam, Artham, the essence of that, if you completely squeeze it out and bring it into one science, that is Bhagavad Gita. That is Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita's importance is cannot be under stress. It has to be stressed so much, the importance of Bhagavad Gita. It is not a sectarian book. It is the science of the soul. It's the science of the soul. See, to summarize a story or to summarize a series of events, history and all that into a small book is easy. It's not so difficult to summarize a series of events. Like you can see, historical literature or poetical literature, sometimes people summarize them into a small essay or into a small book. You can do that. That doesn't require a lot of understanding. A lot of capability is not required in that. But to summarize a whole shastram of the Vedic literature and to bring it into one package of Bhagavad Gita, it's a very, very difficult thing. And that is the Krishna's success. That is why Bhagavad Gita has given so much importance. Whatever Vedic literature has to say to this world, great rishis, the great rishis, what they had to say to this world in the form of Sanghyam, Nyayam, Yogam, Vaisheshigam, Puramimamsa, Uttaramimamsa, all that completely taking into account, Krishna has brought out the very message of the Vedas to us through Bhagavad Gita. This is the beauty of Bhagavad Gita. And as you read and study Bhagavad Gita, you will notice that it is addressed to anyone who wants to free themselves from the cycle of birth and death. Whether you want to escape from here or not, that's the question. That is the science of self-realization, in other words. How to realize who we are, that is the important question. That is why, in all traditions, doesn't matter Shankaracharya, Ramanujacharya, Madhvacharya, Vishnu Swami, Nimbarkacharya, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all the great, great devotees and jnanis and scholars and acharyas, they all keep Bhagavad Gita as the first authoritative literature. So, if we study Bhagavad Gita very well, there is no need, really, strictly speaking, of any other literature. So powerful is the message of Gita. And to change the life and to follow that process, there is no other literature, because it is completely backed by sufficient knowledge and realization. Bhagavad Gita is completely backed by knowledge and realization. Speaking absolute truth, Krishna himself is speaking. And Vedavyasa Maharshi, out of his great compassion for the people, he has put that into Mahabharatam and presented to us in that format. So this is the importance of Bhagavad Gita. We cannot at any time underestimate the importance of Bhagavad Gita. If we don't study Bhagavad Gita, our Krishna consciousness will not go in the right direction. All kinds of anartha will walk in, and it will completely take the from the rail. It will derail the whole thing. So, and how do we understand Bhagavad Gita? That's the next question, isn't it? Understanding Bhagavad Gita, what is required is an open mind. Open mind in the sense that if you accept Krishna as the absolute truth, that is the first thing. He is the authority. Krishna is the authority. Whatever Krishna speaks, he is speaking from the highest platform. If you accept that, then automatically consciousness will be tuned for that, to listen to it, what is spoken about that. And in 18 chapters, 700 verses, Krishna has spoken this Bhagavad Gita in such a way, stressing the importance of karma, jnanam and bhakti. All three things are spoken in there. It is not only bhakti, it's not only jnanam, it's not only karma. It's all the three are there, equally stressed upon. So, you will see this, that if you look into Bhagavatam, there are different situations with different devotees, isn't it? Like, there are two personalities in the Bhagavatam who were short of time in life. Try to understand this, that in the Bhagavatam, when you study Bhagavatam, you should look the background also of Bhagavatam. In the Bhagavatam, two personalities, they didn't have much time left in life, like most of us. We don't have a lot of time left, isn't it? Now, if you take Srimad Bhagavatam and start reading, you will see. Sukadeva Goswami spoke Srimad Bhagavatam to Parikshit Maharaj. Parikshit had this great problem. He was a great personality, emperor, devotee, everything. But he had only 7 days time left. What can you do in 7 days time? There, no yogam will work. No yoga system will work. Many, many great sages were present there. They were suggesting to Parikshit that we must conduct some big sacrifice for his benefit. Somebody else said, no, Ashtanga Yoga will be better. Other people have come and given different suggestions there to Parikshit. But time was short. He had only 7 days left. Because he had only 7 days, so Krishna sent Sukadeva Goswami there and told him, you speak Srimad Bhagavatam to him. Let him hear. And that is sufficient. So simply by hearing Bhagavatam, Parikshit left this world and went back to the spiritual world. Just to show the potency of hearing, the power of hearing. We underestimate that. You say, oh, we have heard all these things before. It's not like that. Properly heard, it is in the Bhagavatam itself, it is mentioned like that. Isn't it? It's mentioned like that. That dharma projita kaidavotra paramo namat saranam satam vedyam vastavam അത്ര വസ്തുശിവദം താപത്രയോന്മൂലനം ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതൈ മഹാമുനികൃതൈ കിംബാബരൈ ഈശ്വരൈ സദ്യേഹൃദ് അവരുദ്ധ്യതേത്ര കൃതിഭി ശുശ്രൂഷുഭി തക്ഷണ ഇമ്മീഡിയറ്റ്ലി ഇറ്റ് ഷുഡ് ഹാപ്പൻ റിയലൈസേഷൻ മസ്റ്റ് ഹാപ്പൻ സദ്യേഹൃദ് അവരുദ്ധ്യതേത്ര കൃതിഭി As soon as you sat down there to hear Bhagavad Gita Bhagavadam, what happens is, Saddehrad Havirudhi, Avirudhyetra. Krishna walks in and he sits inside the heart and says to us, I am ready to hear. I am ready to hear. That is what that word means. Saddehrad Havirudhyetra Krudhi. He walks in and he says, sits there ready to listen. Shushru Shubhi Talkshanal. And it happens like this. Inside. These things we won't know it because it happens without our own knowledge inside. So you may ask the question, if it is like that, how come in the Srimad Bhagavatam in the beginning all yoga systems are spoken? Ashtanga Yogam is spoken, Stula Dharana, Sushma Dharana, the various gradual liberation, instantaneous liberation, all these things are spoken there. Stula Dharana, Sushma Dharana, Krama Mukti, Sadhya Mukti, all these things. In the second canto, he begins with all that. It was not spoken for Parikshit. It was spoken for others like us. For Parikshit, all he didn't want to hear all that. Actually, he wanted to get the message through. Brahmavadesham, that 12th canto, Sudeva Goswami says to him, what is known as Brahmavadesham, that make him realize who he is. That's the main thing. And made him understand that he goes back to spiritual world. So, Parikshit's example, if you keep it in your mind, even though we may have a lot of shortcomings in us, even though our time is too short, even though we know we don't have the ability to execute sadhana for a long period of time and to become perfect in that way, all these things we know, it's our handicap. We can't do anything about it. But, Bhagavatam is pointing out to us, even though it is like that, if you have developed that power of hearing, shravanam, nature in you, there is hope in the spiritual life. There is still hope in the spiritual life. Sadhana must continue. All sadhana we have to do. But to depend on sadhana may not be the ultimate realization. Because what is our sadhana at the end? How much is our sadhana? The 16 rounds is no way comparable to the great devotees, how they chanted. Years and years and years, 192 rounds devotees were chanting. So on sadhana strength, if you ask that you are qualified, you might have to say the possibility is very limited. Now, in the same way, in Bhagavatam you will see another personality, just like Parikshit. Parikshit's problem was, he had only 7 days to live. He had only 7 days to live. Time was too short. Nothing you can do about it. And whatever you have to do it in the 7 days time. So he selected the best option. What was that? To hear and leave the body. To hear and leave the body. If it happens, it happens. And it did happen. Why? So Sudeva Goswami spoke Bhagavatam and Parikshit heard Bhagavatam. Both best speaker and the best listener. It worked very well for them. Then the next personality in the Bhagavatam is Uddhava. Have you noticed Uddhava Vadesham? If you read, you will see instructions to Uddhava. Krishna is saying to him that Krishna started talking about all the yoga dharana, yoga process, ashtanga yogam, everything. Krishna was talking to Uddhava. Uddhava says to Krishna, friend, isn't it close friend, says to him, my dear friend, you know how old I am. Krishna is same age group. Krishna is 124-25 when he spoke Ekadasha Skandam. Uddhava was also 120-122 years old. Similar age group. And you tell a person who is 120 years old to practice all this Ashtanga Yogam. How is this going to work? They have reached a stage in life. Certain things only you can do it at a certain time in life. It's not possible rest of the life you have to follow the Ashtanga process. Uddhava says to him, my dear Krishna, I have seen a great many yogis. He says to him that. In the Bhagavatam you can see that. Prayasha Pundarikasha addressing Krishna says, I have seen so many yogis in this world. When Krishna started talking about yoga process. And I saw them that after years and years of practice, nothing has happened. They couldn't do anything with their mind. So give me that process which will work or get me out of this ignorance. This is what Uddhava said. I don't have much time left. Uddhava also knew very well Krishna is leaving. Uddhava's lifespan is finished. In a few years he could be gone from here. So when a situation happens like that, you have to act according to that situation. And Uddhava's point was that you have to tell me in such a way so that this knowledge wakes up inside. And that is how Ekadasha Skandham was spoken afterwards. In the end you can see all these things in the Bhagavatam. So, hearing, Shravanam process is a powerful process. If you know your limitations, that you don't have the opportunity to cultivate spiritual life, and with the way it is today, most of the people will find it very, very hard. And therefore, Krishna has given us this alternative to Srimad Bhagavatam. And Bhagavad Gita also is telling us, but knowing this science of Krishna consciousness, which is Bhagavad Gita, is important to understand. So, we were mentioning about this last time also, and then Vidura left his palace, went away, and he walked out from home, isn't it? He suddenly walked out from the home. He didn't want to stay anymore. So, he walked out in such a way, 36 years he walked away from home. Imagine that, 36 years walking away from home. And eventually he came to Yamuna River, and there he met with Uddhava. And both of them embraced each other, and what happened was, Vidura looked at the form of Uddhava, Vidura looked at the form of Uddhava and was in a shock seeing him. So, Uddhava and Krishna looks very similar. And also, he noticed Uddhava was wearing Krishna's dhoti. What dhoti is what Krishna used to wear. The garland Uddhava had was Krishna's garland. And also the tilak, everything what Uddhava was wearing was like Krishna's tilak. And similarly, everything looked like Krishna in many ways when he saw him. And on the other hand, Vidura was looking very much like an avadhuta. Avadhuta means that he has no varnam, no ashramam, no care for the body anymore, no care for the baby anymore. So he asked him, where are you going? Uddhava says, I'm going to Badrinath. And what are the Yadavas doing there? He said, they're all gone, he said. Uddhava said, they've all gone. They all had beaten up each other and they killed all of them. They all of them were killed in that process. And I went to Krishna and requested him to give me the knowledge of the Jnanavadesham, or in other words, knowledge of the soul. I asked Krishna about this and he has instructed me about it, and ever since I've got it, I am in this ecstatic mood. Seeing that mood, Vidura recognized this, that Uddhava is in a very realized state. And I am going to Badrinath because Krishna has told me to go to Badrinath, sit in Badrinath and reflect through the whole thing, what Krishna has spoken in the Ekadasha Skandham, and then come back to the spiritual world, he said. So, when he heard that and seeing that Uddhava, Vidura felt tremendous desire to receive instruction from Uddhava. He wanted to hear what Krishna has told him before departing from this world. It's quite natural, isn't it? What was the final message from Krishna? What changed your life to such an extent to Uddhava? Because Vidura can understand the relationship between Uddhava and Krishna is very, very close. Very close relationship. And naturally, whatever Krishna has to say to this world, he would have spoken to Uddhava. And this was known to Vidura very well. And seeing with Uddhava in that particular state of self-realized state, in other words, he purnartho lakshidasnena snehaprasara sampluta. In the Bhagavatam it says like that. that completeness in Uddhava. He looked complete in all aspects. Who will understand? Vidura understood that. Why? Vidura, all these 36 years, while he was wandering around throughout the country, all he was doing was satsangam, associating with great, great devotees, sages, jnanis, and hearing from them, and completely absorbed in the thoughts of the self-realization process. After all, who is Vidura? Yamadharmaraja himself, isn't it? Yamadharmaraja is a spiritual personality, because he is the one who spoke Kathopanishad to Nachiketas. So you have to remember that Vasana is inside, background. With all that background, Vidura had spent his time in this world in spiritual realization. So when he saw Uddhava, immediately he noticed the change in Uddhava and wanted to hear from Uddhava what Krishna has given him as the last instructions. But Uddhava unfortunately told him, Uddhava had to tell him that while I was getting instructed from Krishna, Maitreya Maharshi came there. And Krishna has told Maitreya Maharshi, I have heard that, what was telling him, that one day, Vidura who has gone on a pilgrimage, he will come back. When he comes back, he will come to you. And when he comes to you, you should instruct him, Srimad Bhagavatam to him. So this is how I overheard this conversation between Krishna and Maitreya. So all I can say that you should go and see Maitreya Muni. Maitreya Maharshi is in Haridwar. Go and see him. He will instruct you about spiritual life, about Bhagavata Dharma, Krishna consciousness, in other words. And it is not my, I am not being instructed to do that. It's been Maitreya Maharshi has been instructed to do that. So you should go to him. Saying this, Uddhava walked away from there, and he walked very fast to Badrinath from Vrindavanam. Vidura followed him for a short time. By then Uddhava was too fast. He walked, didn't even look back. He walked away from there. And much later, after months, Vidura arrives in Haridwar, saw Maitreya Maharshi, and then the discussion begins from there. So, from Maitreya, Vidura heard transcendental knowledge and realized. Uddhava heard from Krishna and realized. Self-realization has happened like this, that hearing from Maitreya Maharshi is as good as hearing from Krishna, because Maitreya Maharshi is a self-realized soul, great personality, and from Maitreya Maharshi, Vidura heard and became self-realized. So it is then that when he came, and after this incident, he came to know that everything is finished in Hastinapur. Everything is finished in Hastinapur. And at the same time, he came, went to Hastinapur to see who is there, who is left. So Dhritarashtra was still there. And when he looked at Dhritarashtra, Dhritarashtra was not changed at all. He was still the same person. All children have died, 101 have all died. All the relatives have gone. And he was living at the mercy of the Pandavas. Isn't it? Pandavas were maintaining him. And that was the most shameful thing for Dhritarashtra. Why? The very people whom he tried to kill one day, all these Pandavas, and whom he wanted to take the real revenge on Bhima particularly, because Bhima and Duryodhana were the real arch enemies, mutually. So, Dhritarashtra had a tremendous hate for Bhima, plus wanted to destroy all the Pandavas, but destiny has changed the whole thing in such a way, ultimately he had to live at their mercy, at the mercy of Pandavas, Yudhishthira Maharaj and others. And Bhima used to bring the food and give it to him to eat. And that was a very shameful thing to happen. Adate Grihapalavat. And Vidura saw this, that somebody whom Dhritarashtra has hated and he wanted to destroy, eventually he had to live at their own mercy. And that was unbearable for Kshatriya to do that. He would rather give up his body than living like that. Their pride is like that, isn't it? So Dhritarashtra was living there, and Vidura comes to him and says to him, my dear brother, his elder brother, isn't it? Please get up. He says, how long are you going to sit here and eating this food in this way? Are you not satisfied yet? He said. And death will come any moment now. And how long are you going to sit and continue living like this? Please get up. Even then, Dhritarashtra did not understand what Vidura was saying. Why he is saying like this? Practically, he had no enthusiasm to do it. He has become very old, and the whole family has gone, and he was living there with the Yudhishthira Maharaj. Whatever they have provided him, he was taking it, and he was just waiting for death to happen. He was waiting for death to happen. It was then that Vidura arrived there. So, they says to him, when Bhima brings the food, Vidura says to him, it is not breakfast, he says. It is your pindam. Pindam means the food that is offered to the forefathers after death. That's what he is bringing to you, he says. It's a sort of a very powerful insult to someone to speak like that. So he wanted to wake up the Dhritarashtra from his sleep. Sleep means, when we say sleep means, it's indifference to the purpose of life. Purpose of life is to realize the self. Instead of doing all these years, he has been fighting the war, looking after the family, this and the other. But now the time has come, they're all gone now. What are you waiting for? At least now, turn your attention towards the soul. This is Vidura's point. At least now. Everything has gone now. Forget about it, what has happened. But at least at this last minute, be a little bit spiritual and Krishna conscious, in other words. So, he said that to him, but Bhimava Varjitam Pindam Adatte Grihapalavat. That's the verse in the Bhagavatam. Bhimava Varjitam Pindam Adatte Grihapalavat means that Bhima has brought this food for you, which is like a pindam, and you are sitting here like a dog. Grihapalan means dog, and eating that shamelessly, he said. When he heard that, Dhritarashtra woke up. That is, it needed that kind of language to speak, to be spoken. Because sometimes, and when people are in deep ignorance, you have to speak very strongly. Otherwise, it won't hit them. You can see that often Prabhupada's book, sometimes Prabhupada speaks very strongly about certain things. And people say, why you say speak so strong language? The reason is this. When somebody is in such a deep sleep or in such a deep ignorance, if you don't speak strongly, they won't wake up. If you tell them in a very soft way, life is meant for self-realization and all, won't hit them. So that time you have to tell them bluntly on their face that what they think about their advancement and civilization and their pride and their intelligence, everything has no value. And it has to be spoken, Prabhupada used this word cats and dogs very often, isn't it? So it is talking to the very educated society, very advanced society in the world. So he has to use that language. And that's the same like Vidura did here with Dhritarashtra also. He had to speak in a very strong language. So he says to him, after you have reached this stage without knowing about the soul and give up this pride in this body, and he says to him, all these called children, grandchildren, all of them is not going to stay forever. They'll all be gone one day. And ultimately you should hear the truth and you should leave this body. He is Dhira. Who says this? Vidura says to Dhritarashtra. And without anyone knowledge, you should be able to give up this body. And that's what Dhritarashtra did later. Dhritarashtra went with Vidura into the forest and performed Rajayogam there. It says in the Bhagavatam like that. Executed Rajayogam and he got realized, self-realized and left this world. So you can see there that not that otherwise what happens in our world, that even after the age of 90 also, people keep all their keys with them and says, attached to their family life, children, grandchildren, and at the same time, talking, gossiping about all the things, what's going on in this world, and then watch the television, and when the death comes, as though it appears that everything is permanent here, that is how they live in this world. And without any consideration, without any time for discussion about the soul, discussion about the self-realization, they leave this body in such a way that just like a pot breaks up, isn't it? In the same way, they use this body for sense enjoyment and sense gratification whole lifetime, and ultimately the pot broke. Nothing happened with this body. What is the use of that? Vidura says to him. Vidura says this to Dhritarashtra in a very strong language in the Bhagavatam. So, leave this home, leave this family life, leave these relations, everything, and come with me, he says. Vidura held his hand and took him with him to the forest. This is Vidura, the personality. And this is all the story in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Why I'm saying this is that Bhagavad Gita is actually, Bhagavad Gita is a science, Srimad Bhagavatam is the commentary of Bhagavad Gita. Practically, the science of Bhagavad Gita is commented in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So, once you know that everything what has to happen in life is going to happen, then there is peace in life. Otherwise, how are you going to get any peaceful situation in life? So, when we say these things, people will say like this that, oh, how can you live in this world without executing karma? So, karma is necessary. Karma is not rejected. So, if we say to them that it's sufficient if you chant the holy name all the time. So, in a different way, great personalities have spoken about that. Somebody asked Swami Ramdas about this. Should we not, whole country is busy with spiritual life. They said to him, the whole country is busy with spiritual life. That's why everybody has become lazy. Nothing is working in India, they say. So, how can this go on, he says. So, he says, he said that, Ramdas replied like this, he said, there's nothing wrong in that. He says, by them being lazy like this, they have not done anything wrong in this world. Anything wrong in this world. On the other hand, people are more peaceful. For one who is in spiritual life, all he is looking for a little bit of prasadam and a place to lie down. Doesn't need anything more than that. On the other hand, he has not gone away to destroy others and others' life and disturb others' activities. Now, on the other hand, one who is very much involved with this theory of working hard and actions in there, and what have they done? They had so much faith in their actions, karma. All they have done at the end is they have created this powerful weapons like atom bomb and hydrogen bomb and things like that, and attacking others and killing others. This is the gain from that. So, at least that hasn't happened with a spiritual society. They lived more peacefully with that. So, if you look into other living entities in this world also, they also work only what is necessary, isn't it? Animals are like that. Animals only work what is necessary for them. When they are hungry, they'll go and hunt. Once they have eaten, they stay peacefully. They don't again look for work again. They don't create any more work. So, when they need food, they work. Otherwise, they are peaceful. Therefore, the point is this, that not that we should not work, but to misunderstand that life is only meant to work. That is the misunderstanding. So, reaching that state of shanti, what Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, and to see the absolute truth, that is why one has to work for. That is what one has to work for, not for increasing the material activities. So, whether work is concerned, that is not in our hands. It's not in our hands. It is in the hands of the material nature. We don't have the, why we say like that is, we don't have the freedom to work, or we don't have the freedom not to work either. According to, that is in the hands of material nature. Because material nature, according to our vasana, she controls everything in us, in our nature. suppose something is not meant to happen, if the material nature is not approved, even if you stand upside down, it is not going to happen. And that you can see in life also. Sometimes some people are working very, very hard, but still they seem to be suffering a lot, not able to meet their minimum necessities of life. And some others who are without much work due to circumstances, they end up in sufficient, not necessary to work to such an extent to maintain themselves. All this you can see in this world. And just like in the circus, you keep moving in the wheel in the same way. So everything else is material nature's magic. Material nature is conducting this world in that way. Whether we understand it, accept it or not, that's immaterial. But that is the truth. That is what happens. Krishna is saying here also to Arjuna. Krishna says to Arjuna, Arjuna, I have already killed all these people. They are already dead. And if you tell me that you are not going to fight this war, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Wake up. Tasma tamuttita yashoilla basva. That verse. Jitva shatrun bhukshirajam samadham. Mai vede nihada puvamevam nimitta matram bhavasavyasachin. So, if you kill them all, you can win over them and control this line. Mai vede nihada puvamevam nimitta matram savyasachin. Arjuna, you are a savyasachi. That means with both hands, you can fire the arrows, shoot the arrows. And even that is not your capability, Krishna is saying to Arjuna. You may be thinking that you are very special, isn't it? Krishna is actually dismantling Arjuna's pride, telling him that even that capacity what you have got is not yours. And you are born with this left-handed. Arjuna was left-handed. He was born left-handed. But even there, you have no freedom because you are born left-handed. Nobody had any plan to, some people are left-handed, isn't it? So, who made that decision that he should be left-handed? So, scientists will say it's the genes and all that. That's another issue. But who put the genes like that? That you have to ask the question then, isn't it? So, very nature, the birth itself, decides certain things are decided like that. You can see sometimes in cricket also, there are some left-handed batsmen who plays the left hand. And it's a difficult thing for the bowler to sense properly how they will react to the bowling. So, these kinds of things happen in our body while taking this body itself. So, here Krishna is also saying to him that even if your left hand and the left leg, even that is under my control, Krishna says to Arjuna. Even there you have no freedom, but you got this, although you are born left-handed, you also have the capacity to shoot the arrow with the right hand. And so, so Krishna says to him, nimitta matram bhava savyasachin. Savyasachi means with both hands he can fire. Just become a equipment, a machine in my hands and work. And work. So, this situation, that what Krishna is saying to Arjuna, this is the situation with all the jnani. All the jnanis, when they reach a state of self-realization, they become like that. They know fully well that everything is happening through them. They are not making any decisions on their own. Everything is from inside, the guidance comes and they operate. They feel themselves not responsible for anything. It just happens through them. It happens through them. So this this incident in many, many instances in the history has happened. So many great sannyasis, they have said this also, who became very powerful. Powerful in the sense that at some time in their life, they became, due to their self-realization and influence in this world, people asked them, how did this all happen? to them. They said, their reply was, we ourselves didn't know. We ourselves didn't know how it happened. It was meant to happen, it happened like that. It was meant to happen, it happened like that. Many instances you can see this happening in great souls, how it happened. That they did not plan their life in any way. After self-realization has happened to them, Krishna, because of their surrender, that is self-realization means, isn't it? Surrender, complete surrender. That they accept that everything is happening through them. Whatever happens through them, they know very well that Krishna is doing that through them. This deep level realization, deeper understanding, brings them, Krishna also accordingly use them for various plans what Krishna has in this world. Many, many examples in this world you can look back into. You will be amazed by what they had to show to this world, nothing. Nothing they had. Simply by their surrender and the realization of the truth, acceptance that, without keeping any pride inside, complete surrender to Krishna, and Krishna using them in different instances, in different ways, to propagate this Krishna consciousness in different forms. That's all. Vaidhi philosophy is well known for that. In all the great traditions you will notice this happening. So one sannyasi mentioned about this, he became so famous and he said at the end that when I think about it all, what has happened in a short period of time in his life, he said, I am so shocked how this all happened. I myself didn't know how this has all happened. So he also said at that time that world was respecting him in different ways. He says that I don't deserve anything like this, but that is the power of Maya. Maya can put you into such situations, and she has that power, has forced me to do these things. And at some point he says, at this point in time, I have now been released from the influences of all these things. If you observe carefully, even today in this world, you will see people like that. You will see people in this state. Many, many people like that. There are personalities like that through them. If you look at their qualifications as such, there is nothing in them. What is the qualifications? There is no other qualifications in them. But, and if you look into their background, where they came from, there is nothing to be proud of. But due to this surrender to Krishna and due to this high self-realization of the soul inside, they are always in a state where Krishna is continuously using them in their Krishna's different plans, in some form or the other. In some form or the other. And that is throughout history this has happened. Whether it is personalist or impersonalist, doesn't matter. It happens all the time. Because both are following Bhagavad Gita's philosophy of Bhagavad Gita. That is more important. Whether you are a personalist or impersonalist is not the important issue there. Whether you are following Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavad Gita's science, the philosophy of Bhagavad Gita is important. Is important. So, they realize that a jiva which has come to that state, then that jiva will never get entangled, will never get entangled. And on the other hand, one who thinks that I am doing everything, I am in control of the situation, whatever he may do, the best things in this world, he will get caught up somewhere. Because strictly speaking, there is no good thing and bad thing in this world. Good and bad is our mind that says, oh, this is good, this is bad. This is our mind that creates this division. Krishna says that in the Bhagavatam. He says, gunam dosham, good and bad. Uddhava is all after saying to Uddhava what is good and what is bad. A whole chapter, good and bad, Krishna says, this is good, this is bad. At the end he says to Uddhava, Uddhava, it is like this. To think something is good and something is bad itself is bad, he says. See how difficult it is to extract the truth from all these things, and to realize the truth is a very difficult process. And we have to be very careful to listening to Krishna, Krishna's instructions, analyze them, understand them well, and then by Krishna's kripa or mercy alone, we will get to know what is the truth. It's not a law book that everything has been told like a clauses and bullet points like that, do like this. No, it is a whole science of self-realization is eventually how you get closer to the truth. What is the truth? That's what we do. So in that process, Krishna says to Uddhava, we'll discuss that later on in the Bhagavatam, that Uddhava asked so many questions, Krishna answered all the questions and says to him, Uddhava, these things are good, these things are bad. Two categories, he says. These things are all good, these things are all bad. And then he says to Uddhava, Uddhava, don't get involved in all these things, he says. Why? He says to him, that to think something is good and something is bad in this world itself is bad. To think something is good and something is bad itself is bad. Just like, when will that happen? When will that understanding come? When we get to know that normally in our dealings in this world we create ragadvesham, isn't it, between people. Somebody we like, somebody we don't like. Attachment, aversion will happen. So, one time there was an exhibition. Exhibition means during the Navaratri time, the Nine-Day Festival. At that time many temples, they will decorate very well. Devotees will come, many temples will decorate. And during Navaratri time what they do, they will make a lot of different dioramas and different murtis, forms of all the personalities in the Ramayanam, Mahabharatam, and they will exhibit all of them. So people will come and they will appreciate all that, watching all these things. So in one temple, they have built the murti of Ramachandra, Krishna, and Satyabhama Rukmini, all the Krishna's queens, Sita Devi, Hanuman, Lakshmana, everybody in a row they have built. They also made the statues of the murtis of Ravana, Kumbhakarna, Shurpanakha, and Vibhishana, everybody, Ravana's family, all that, Kamsa and others. So there are people, Puranic personalities, all of them, isn't it? Puranams, they appear. So they are all made in an expensive way. Some people, different people have sponsored them. It was made in gold to make it very attractive. And it was kept for a display like that. People were coming and they will pay their obeisances to Krishna, Ramchandra, Rukmini Devi and everybody. But they won't even look at Ravana or Kumbhakarna and others. They will just ignore them, saying that they are useless there. I don't offer any respects to them. In this way they will come and they will go. So, some people, they observed this, what was going on. People were coming and they were offering respects to Krishna and Ramchandra and others, been ignoring Ravana and Kumbhakarna and going away like that. So a bunch of thieves, after the night everyone is gone, they wanted to steal everything, steal the deity. Now when they came to steal, they didn't think about Krishna, Ramchandra or anything. Everything was made of gold. They first took Ravana and Kumbhakarna because they were the heavier ones. More gold in there. They didn't think of in terms of deity or Krishna or God or anything like that. Rather, they for in their eyes, Ravana is more valuable than Krishna. Kumbhakarna is more valuable. Ravana, 10 heads, you can imagine the size of that murti will be more heavier. Similarly, Kumbhakarna is a big, huge figure, isn't it? So first they put Ravana, Kumbhakarna and others into the bag and then they took Krishna and Ramchandra later on. This in Vedantam, this is called Kanagaiva Mahabuddhi. In other words, they are not seeing the form. What they are seeing is a substance in there. Kanagaiva Mahabuddhi. It's made of gold, isn't it? So gold has got the value, not the form has got the value. If you melt any of these forms, you will get, according to the weight, the benefit from that. So similarly, Krishna's point is this, a realized soul He will see the soul present in everything, not the external form alone, and start making decisions within. Because normally what happens, if you, in a particular form, if you get attracted, attached to, or if you have any ragam dvesham towards anyone, eventually it is not the form that will stay inside you. It is that raga dvesham that will stay inside you. Isn't it? You will not remember that form of the person. What you will remember is that the impression that person has created inside you. The form will disappear. So, similarly, in bhavam, bhava mandalam it's called, in your imagination or sangalpam, whatever that has been created, that's more important. So similarly, here, kanagaiva mahabuddhi, it says, intelligent person is that thief who is stealing. Because he is not seeing the form as important, he is seeing the material with which it's made is important, and therefore he thinks the gold is very valuable, and whichever has got the highest weight, he picks it up and he walks away. So this stage of seeing a particular form is good and he is bad, it's in the beginning. In the beginning you have to see like that only, that you have to see Rama's form, Krishna's form, and worship him in that way. But in a very advanced state, you have to see the substance in Rama and Krishna is the same substance in Ravana also. If you accept Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita is saying that, isn't it? In everyone, the soul who is present in every living entity is the one, the same soul it is. It's not different. So that realization is an advanced state of understanding. So Krishna is saying here that the if you come to that, this realization, you will escape from here. You will escape from here. In order to say this, Krishna is saying here, Arjuna, now you look at those people whom Krishna is quoting about, talking about there in that verse. That is verse 34. Now you can see how Krishna is presenting that. Verse 34. Dronancha Bhishmancha Jayadradancha Karnam Tadanyana Bhiyodhaviran Maya Hadastvam Jahima Vyadishta Yudhasvajedasi Rene Savatman Dronancha Bhishmancha Jayadradancha Karnam Tadanyana Piyodhaviran Maya Hadastvam Jahima Vyadishtam Yudhvasya Jedasi Rene Sabatman Dronanja Bhishmajja Jayadradanja Karnam Tadanyana Piyodhaviran Maya Hadastvam Jahima Vyadishtam Yudhvasya Jedasi Rene Sabatman. Krishna says, all the great warriors, Drona, Bhishma, Jayadrata, Karna are already destroyed. Simplify it and you will vanquish your enemies. He says here. Drona is standing there, but don't get frightened. Krishna says to Arjuna, Drona is a great acharya. He is a jnani. He is a jnani as well. And he has taught Arjuna how to fight, isn't it? How to fight. That's all right, he says, Krishna says. But I have already killed him. Dronanja, Bhishmanja, Jayadradanja. These are the powerful warriors of the Kauravas. And just shoot an arrow, Drona, Bhishma, Jayadrada, against each one of them, and they'll be gone, they'll fall. And people will think that you have killed them. Similarly, Bhishma. Bhishma is a big personality, the Nodhari, isn't he? And he's a grandfather. But don't worry about that. He may be a grandfather. And I'm keeping him standing there. Actually, he's finished, he says. If you shoot an arrow, same thing with Jayadrata and Karna also. And Karnam Tadanyanabi Yodhaviran. Karnam. That Karna, Arjuna was very frightened. Quite frightened about Karna. Many, many great personalities who are there, they are all standing in front of you like some dolls, like a doll. They are all standing in front of you. Mayaha Rastam Jihima Vidishta Yudhyasya Jayadasi Renesa Vatman. You don't have to worry. Yudhyasva, fight the war. Jayadasi, you have already won the war. Here, the question is whether you win or lose. That is not the question. Jayadasi Renesa Vatman, you already won the war. All these things are said in the Bhagavad Gita in order to tell us that in the spiritual life also, when there is a proper relationship between the spiritual master and the disciple, the spiritual master will tell the disciple, if the spiritual master is a realized soul, he will tell the disciple what problems are likely to come in spiritual life. He has to constantly speak these things to the disciple. Disciple should hear from the spiritual master constantly about the difficulties that is going to happen in the spiritual process. So, in the history you will notice this in many instances that things what is likely to happen in the future in spiritual life is spoken to the disciple in advance, so that disciple can prepare himself to understand the gravity of the situation, what is going to happen in the spiritual life. All the saying this was Krishna has asked Arjuna to fight. It was at that point that the Sanjaya, after Krishna said this, Sanjaya got in and says to Dhritarashtra, that is the next verse. What does Sanjaya say?
Eda shutva vachanam
keshavasya kridanjalir vevamana kiridi namaskratva bhuyaye vaha krishnam sagadgadam bhida pranamyam. Sanjaya vacham Edashutva vachanam keshavasyam kridanjalir vevamana kiridi namaskratva bhuyameva krishnam sagadgadam bhida pranamyaham. Sanjaya vacha evam shutva vachanam keshavasya kridanjalir vevamana kiridi namaskritva abhuya evaha krishnam sagadgadam idabhida pranamyam. Sanjaya said to Dhritarashtra, O king, after hearing these words from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Arjuna trembled, fearfully offered obeisances with folded hands and began falteringly to speak as follows. So, But Krishna has told Uddhava, Arjuna, and Sanjaya mentioned this, and he got frightened. He says, anyone will get frightened seeing that form of Krishna at that time, in that universal form. It was not the four-handed form, but very frightening, kalosmi, time personified, and showing what is going to happen in the future. That form was like that. Krishna's form at that time was such that if you look at Krishna at that time, what Arjuna saw was that everything what was going to happen in the near future, he could see in Krishna that was happening. Devamana kiridi, he says, bida pranamya. But seeing that, Arjuna was shaken. Arjuna could not stand in front of him, completely shaken and frightened. Devamana kiridi. Because if you see that form, anyone will get frightened. Arjuna is shivering there at that time. And Arjuna, namaskritva bhuya evaha krishna sagadgadam bida pranamya. Arjuna started falling down and paying his obeisances to Krishna and started speaking with a choked voice. And from now on, what you will see is that Arjuna's glorification of Krishna, that form when he saw, that is the next few verses in the Yeah. So let's look at that. అర్జున ఉవాచ సానే హృషీకేశ తవ ప్రకృత్యా జగత్ ప్రహర్ష్యతే యుజ్యతే చ రక్షాంసి భూతాని దిశో ద్రవంతీ సర్వే నమస్యంతి చ సిద్ధ సంగాః అర్జున ఉవాచ స్థానే హృషీకేశ తవ ప్రకృత్యా జగల్ ప్రహర్ష్యతని విజ్యతే చ రక్షాంసి భూతాని దిశో ద్రవంతీ సర్వే నమస్యంతి చ సిద్ధ సంగాః Krishna, who was standing there in the beginning as the two-handed form, he was standing there, and that form has become now time personified. Kalavurusha, he is addressed as Kalavurusha. Earlier, Krishna was the same height as Arjuna, about 6 feet or so. That was Krishna and Arjuna were of the same height. Suddenly, Krishna has changed that form, and it has expanded. And it is filling the whole world in such a way it was standing there and showed Arjuna to him that form. Not only that, what else Krishna has shown, all that is what's going to happen in the near future, that is also Krishna has shown to Arjuna. Initially Krishna was standing there before Bhagavad Gita was spoken, before universal form, in the two-handed form, Krishna was standing there and talking to Arjuna. Same height as Arjuna, same form. Suddenly the form changed and this universal form appeared in front of him and appeared and then saw the universal form expanded into a huge form, filling the whole creation in such a way. It stood there. Seeing that, Arjuna got frightened. And that's one. Secondly, in that form, Arjuna saw what is going to happen now. The whole Mahabharata war happening and all these personalities like Bhishma, Drona, Karna, one after the other getting swallowed by Krishna. Swami Krishna. And not only that, Krishna also proved to Arjuna one point that you are nothing. You are nothing. And with that, what Krishna has done is, he took away this consciousness of ownership of doing something. That's the easiest way. When Krishna does it like that, it makes it a lot easier. For us, it's very difficult to give up the ownership, isn't it? I am the doer, I am the doer, I am the doer. Everything I am the doer. But when you see Krishna appearing like this in front of Arjuna, Arjuna understood that I am not the doer. That was the immediate effect on Arjuna. That was the benefit of this universal form. Otherwise, we have to fight whole life to get out of this kartrutva. Isn't it? Kartrutva, Bhoktrutva, Raga, Dvesham, four things. Out of this, Kartrutvam is the most difficult thing. People ask all the time, how do I give up my, on? I am the doer, ownership. You say, you just give it up. What else can you say? It's nothing you can do about it. It's not so simple. It's easy to say this, isn't it? I am not the doer. We'll say like that. But in reality, I am the doer. That will not go away easily. Because otherwise, in two places in the Bhagavad Gita, as well as in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Vedavyasa Maharshi talks about people who are thinking that I am the doer. He says like this, that Pragrade Kriyamanani Gunai Karmani Sarvasha Ahangara Vimodhalma Kartaham Vidimanyade. He says, because we have false ego inside, all of us. We are false ego actually. Actually we are false ego. Jiva means false ego. So, as long as this false ego is inside, we have kartrutvam. There is no question about that. But, if a situation like this happens, for Arjuna happens to us, we will give up false ego. There won't be any more false ego after that. Kartrutvam also goes along with that. So, if he knows this tattvam, this is the tattvam from this chapter, that that we have no freedom, we have no independence, Krishna is doing everything through us, and that is the important message. For Arjuna, completely it is not clear yet, therefore there is fear. Why Arjuna was frightened? Because although he accepted that Krishna is the controller, still there is a very trace of false ego inside. Because he is seeing separately from Krishna everything. He does not know everything is Krishna. Everything is Krishna. Through Arjuna, who is, remember that incident we discussed, Akrura went to Dhritarashtra. And Dhritarashtra said to Akrura, Akrura, it is like this, that Yo Durvimarshamathaya Nijamaya Yedam, that he is sitting inside me and telling me, do like this, go for the war, fight the war, he's telling me. And then he is sending you to me not to fight the war and telling me not to fight the war. Now what am I supposed to do? This is the reality, isn't it? When you know this very well, you will surrender. But we won't accept it very easily. It doesn't sink in very easily into us. Throughout Bhagavatam you will see, you know, when the serpent Kaliya the serpent, Krishna, his ego is very high. Kaliya's ego is snake, isn't it? We say, talk about people like that, isn't it? Like a snake, that we say, black snake, we say. About people. So, Kaliya belongs to that category. Terrible envy, terrible that anger inside. And Krishna had to dance on top of his hoods, different hoods many times. And kick a lot before vomiting everything, that poison inside, and get it off that ego from inside. After everything was over, Kaliya completely got exhausted, couldn't do anything after that. He was finished, practically finished. So Krishna goes to him and says to him, Kaliya, why you are standing, sitting here and giving trouble to people in Yamuna River? Nobody can drink the water from Yamuna. Plus, birds when they fly in the sky, they collapse because of the fumes of the poison that was coming, that used to affect them, and they'll collapse. And nobody can use the water. All these simple people in Vrindavanam, cowherd men, gopas, gopis, and all, they are not able, they are frightened to come to Kalina River. Kaliya heard everything from Krishna. Then he said to Krishna, can I tell you something? He said, Krishna very carefully thought, what is he going to say to me now? Kaliya, he wanted to hear from her. Kaliya says, I am a snake. You put me into this body. And then you are asking me why you are envious. Why you are doing this. Now what can I answer you? You are the one who put me into this situation. Into this snake's body. Into the snake's body. And from a snake, what do you expect? Do you expect a Brahmana's behavior from a snake? So Krishna had no answer. Krishna couldn't answer that question. The same thing here also, that this tattvam is this, that even though we may accept that Krishna is doing everything, our ego won't easily surrender. The ego is very difficult to get rid of this from inside. And because when there is ego inside, there will be fear also. It's because of the ego. Who is fearing? Suppose, look at this way. Suppose somebody praises you. Who enjoys, when somebody praises you, who is enjoying? It's a false ego that's enjoying. Not the soul, nothing to do with the soul. It's your false ego. Somebody insults you, criticizes you heavily, and give you a lot of fire you heavily, or criticize you heavily. Who gets hurt? The false ego gets hurt. Not the soul. Soul has nothing to do with any of these things. So, similarly, here also, as long as there is a slightest trace of false ego inside, there will be fear also. Fear also will be there. Therefore, Arjuna now, because there is fear inside, that's why he is paying his obeisances to Krishna. You see? He is paying his obeisances to Krishna because he is frightened inside. That's what that verse is saying. You can look at the verses, you will see them. Stani krishi kesha tava prakritya jagal praharshyatta nirujyadeja rakshamsi bhudani dishodravandi sarvena sendrija siddha sangaha. That he says, O krishi kesha, the world becomes joyful upon hearing your name, and thus everyone becomes attached to you. Although the perfected beings offer you their respectful homage, the demons are afraid and they flee here and there. All this is rightly done. So this tattvam in the Bhagavad Gita is like this. Then when Krishna says at the end of Bhagavad Gita, Sarva dharman parityajya mamekam sharanam vraja, aham tvam sarva bhavebhyo mokshayishyami ma shucha. If you keep this in mind and also then understand that, then this false ego inside is the problem for surrender also. That's what is stopping us from surrendering to Krishna. That Krishna says, therefore, in the while talking about the opulences, he says, Yajnanam Javayajnasmi, always chanting the holy name. This holy name has got this thing, it will suppress or bring the false ego always under control. False ego under control. So by chanting, one also will develop this mood that I am just being controlled by Krishna, I am an instrument in Krishna's hands. And in that way, if you continue this spiritual life, instead of carrying all the responsibility of burden of life on our own shoulders and thinking that I have to do this, I have to do that, rather if a devotee takes this attitude that Krishna is doing everything, I am Krishna's hands, I am just an instrument, and chant the holy name and live his life in this world, everything, you will see that Krishna conducts everything peacefully. And we have to have that and live independent from that, completely independent of not getting involved in everything what goes on in this world and not get affected by that. That is Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is like that, that developing this mood inside, depending on Krishna chanting the holy name. Otherwise it is not false ego is chanting. Even that is why, see, the same thing when Mahaprabhu put in that verse, Trinaravi Shuni Jaina Taravaravi Sahishnuna Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari. What it means is this. It's the same thing, spoken in a verse form. That's all it is. That chanting is only effective if it is chanted in this consciousness. In which consciousness? This freedom from false ego. Without any false ego, completely handing over all the responsibility to Krishna. Whatever Krishna does it through this body and the mind, let it happen. Whether good or bad, Krishna knows better. In that state of consciousness, one can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. That is the principle. Otherwise, most of us, what do we do? Oh, I've committed 16 rounds, I'll do that. Mm-hmm. And from the back, boom, finished. I've done my bit. Now let him do his bit. This is the mood. This is not how spiritual life works. Spiritual life is to be this attitude in Krishna consciousness is important. That execution of any spiritual activity, any sadhana in this world, if it is not under completely surrendered to Krishna, that sadhana will not have any, it will not change the, it will not bring that result of self-realization. Easily. That is why even if we chant few rounds, but if it is chanted in the right consciousness, it is important. Rather than the number. So everything Krishna is doing, and so long as we think that our life is in our own hands, there will be tension. There will be always tension. But if you hand it over to Krishna, the independence the independence to Krishna, that is the liberated state. There is very little difference between liberated state and the surrendered state. So bondage means I will do everything. Everything is under my control. Once you think that everything is in Krishna's control, Krishna is doing everything, that's liberation. That is liberation. Aham kartedi bandaha, na aham kartedi muktihi. That is the Upanishad statement. Aham kartedi bandaha, I am doing everything is bondage. Na aham kartedi muktihi. I am not doing anything. Everything is happening through me. That is liberation. That is liberation. So once you hand over this kartatva, kartatva means the doership, to hand over to Krishna, then there is no more kartatvam. That is what it is mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita. తమేవ శరణం గచ్చ సర్వభావేన భారత మత్ప్రసాదాల్పరాం శాంతిం స్థానం ప్రాప్సిసి శాశ్వతం. ఆఫ్టర్ సరెండరింగ్ టు కృష్ణ, హ్యాండింగ్ ఓవర్ ఆల్ ద రెస్పాన్సిబిలిటీ టు కృష్ణ, దెన్ కృష్ణస్ మెర్సీ స్టార్ట్స్ ఫ్లోయింగ్ కంటిన్యూస్లీ ఫ్రమ్ కృష్ణ సైడ్. సో టిల్ ది సరెండర్ హ్యాపన్స్, whether in material life or in spiritual life, you can say that practically Krishna's mercy won't come. Krishna's mercy won't come. This is why I'm saying that these are important things in spiritual life, to know that surrender to Krishna every moment in life is more important than anything else. And all the other sadhana what we execute, it's not a performance. Spiritual life is not a performance. It's not a show. It's not a drama. It's just that it has to continuously happen inside, that surrendering process. That is the principle of Bhagavad Gita. In the second chapter, when we discussed before, that Krishna spoke all the essence in that, isn't it? Contents of the Bhagavad Gita summarized. That's the second chapter. Bhagavad Gita means Brahma Vidya. Brahma Vidya means knowledge of the self-realization, Brahma Vidya. So that Brahma Vidya was spoken in the second chapter. The remaining chapters after that, after the second chapter in the Bhagavad Gita, is all how to make that Brahma Vidya practical in life, how to make it practical in life, and to bring it into how to experience that. The very knowledge, or the very knowledge of the what is known as Brahma Vidya, Atma Vidya, Tattvam, everything was spoken in the second chapter. But what Krishna has spoken in the second chapter, how to bring that into practical life, that is what the remaining chapters from then on. So, so that Brahma Vidya, Krishna spoke very effectively in one verse there, isn't it? In the second chapter. And in one verse, na sado vidyade bhavo, na bhavo vidyade sada, ubhayoravi drishtvandam stanayo tattva darshivi. That's the famous verse in the second chapter. That's a very famous verse. And that is the very truth what Krishna is saying to Arjuna. Arjuna, na asado vidyade bhavo, what is God reality, you can never take it away from that. It always remains. And what is not real, you can never give reality to it. That's like material nature, prakriti, maya, it is not real, isn't it? You cannot make it real, because it's not real. By creation itself, it's not real. Whereas soul, it's real always. And because it's real, the reality cannot be taken away from the soul. It's always existing. That's what that verse is saying. Na sado vidyade bhavo, na bhavo vidyade sada. This one point, this is the most important point in the Bhagavad Gita, that soul is eternal, soul is always there, it cannot change the nature of the soul. Soul's characteristics remain always that it exists. It exists. That's the most important thing. Astitva is there in the soul. In the matter, there is no existence. It has no existence. It is changing, constantly changing. So it has no existence. So, so this verse is an important verse, because centered around this verse is the whole knowledge of the soul is spoken in it. So, in this particular verse, as given an extended commentary. So, if you read the commentary on that, in the Bhagavad Gita, if you look into the famous commentaries, for example, Brahma Sutra, Vedanta Sutra commentary. Vedanta Sutra commentary, if you compare that with Bhagavad Gita's commentary, if you look into that way, that you may think that there's nothing much he has written on the Bhagavad Gita commentary. Acharya Swamiji, when he wrote commentary on Bhagavad Gita and Brahma Sutra, Brahma Sutra commentary is very brihat, very big, and very detailed explanations of everything. But on Bhagavad Gita, only he picked certain verses and expanded that, where he felt the need to speak strongly about it, because the those, that knowledge in the Bhagavad Gita is important. So, in Gita Bhashyam, commentary on Bhagavad Gita, only important verses were taken and expanded. Remaining other many verses you will see in his commentary, he has just touched and gone. Just touched and gone. Bhagavad Gita, Upanishads, Bhagavad Gita, Upanishads, everything, it is more thoroughly discussed in the Brahma Sutra, or which is known as Vedanta Sutra. It is in Vedanta Sutra, everything is discussed in detail. Very complex issues of the Bhagavad Gita. So, similarly, Krishna, when he spoke Bhagavad Gita, everything what he has to say, he summarized in that one verse. Which one? Nasado vidhire bhavo. You must study that verse. Keep it in your conscience all the time. Because in the light of that verse, you have to see the world. Otherwise, simply no point in memorizing the verse without knowing what the verse is pointing at. So, Krishna did exactly the same thing. Nasado vidhire bhavo na bhavo vidhire sada. Ubhayorami drishtvandam stanayor tatu darshibi. Through that one verse, Krishna had summarized the whole philosophy into it, whole Vedanta into it. So, this is the main thing. What is that? Tattva darshibi drishtaha. Tvanayor tattva darshibi. He says there, Krishna says there, tattva darshi, jnanis who are tattva darshis. You know this word tattva darshi, isn't it? In fact, tattvadarshi is a very important word. Tattvadarshi means one who has seen the truth. One who has seen the truth. You will see this word coming, tattvadarshi, tattvadarshi, in few places in the Bhagavad Gita. You know that. Huh? That there is this verse where it, what is that, talks about another. Jnaninas tattvadarshina. Jnaninas tattvadarshina. What does it say? About the tadbuddhi pranibadena pariprasnena sevaya upadekshandide jnanam jnanina tattvadarshina. There also Krishna says tattvadarshina. So jnani is a tattvadarshi. And in this verse also Krishna is saying nasado vidyade bhavo na bhavo vidyade sada ubhayoravi drishtvandam tvanayor tattvadarshivi. So, tattvadarshi means one who has seen the truth. What does that mean? One who has realized the self. He is the tattvadarshi. Because he has seen the truth. He has realized the self means he has seen the truth. So, he says here, tattvadarshivi drishtaha. They have seen the secret behind me. Here, there is only two things. There is only two things. One, our swarupam. Swarupam is the soul inside. And the second thing, our swabhavam, our nature. Nature means it includes everything. What is all? Our nature is this gross body, our mind, our intelligence, our ego. All this is our swabhavam and our vasanas inside. This is our swabhavam, isn't it? So, in the Bhagavad Gita, referring to this, it's spoken that whatever activities we do in this world, through our senses, senses of knowledge and senses of action, that is known as cheshta. Cheshta means it acts in this world, in the material nature, according to the influence of the vasanas, impressions inside, and according to his body, mind, intelligence, he functions in this world. Isn't it? So, that is called swabhava. All these things together is called swabhava. You can see here, two people in the same situation will act in two different ways. Two different ways. Why is that? Because his vasanas are different, so he acted in two different ways. He acted in two different ways. That's all it is. So, according to the vasanas inside, according to his body, according to his mind, according to his intelligence, according to his ego, everyone will act in different way. All this is combined together is called swabhava. It's called swabhava of a person. So we are combined with these two things. One, our Swarupam, which is the soul. We all are, isn't it? Spirit soul. Other one is this Swabhavam, which is change, changes from person to person. In Swarupam, we are all same spirit. We are all spirit soul. There is no difference at all from one person to another. In Swabhavam, all of us are different. This is the important thing. So, here, Swarupam is Sat. That's what it is. That verse is saying. Swarupam is Sat. Swabhavam is Asat. Swabhavam is Asat. Why? Because it's changing. Swarupam is Atma. And Swabhavam is Jadam. In other words, Swarupam has got life in there. Swabhavam is Jadam. Dead thing it is. Swarupam, this is this differences, we must take it in our mind, we should remember them. Difference between Swarupam and Swabhavam. In Swarupam, everybody is same. Every living entity in this world is the same. In Swabhavam, everybody is different. An animal, bird, plant, trees, all of us on earth, they're all same in Swarupam. They all have the soul. But in Swabhavam, according to their body, according to their consciousness, development of the consciousness, they are in different conditions. They operate in different ways. Similarly, among the human species also. So, Swarupam is Sat, Swabhavam is Asat. Swarupam is the soul, and Swabhavam is Jadam. Swarupam is soul. Swarupam is the soul. Swabhavam is Jadam. Swabhavam is continuously changing. Swarupam is consciousness, pure consciousness, bodham, awareness all the time, isn't it? And Swabhavam is Jadam. Jadam. In the absence of Swarupam, Swabhavam cannot work. Swabhavam is dead in the absence of the Swarupam. Swarupam is Krishna and Swabhavam is Jagat, the world. Padri. Swarupam is Krishna, Ishwara, Krishna's part. Swabhavam is Jadam, dead matter. You will see this in a very, very higher level. When Krishna talks, if you observe, you will see some very interesting things there. You will be amazed by the position Krishna is taking while he is saying things, certain things in the Bhagavatam. Krishna says to Uddhava, Uddhava, notice this, he said. You will not accept this, what Krishna says. It will be very difficult. But if you take it on board and make it a sadhana in life, immense benefit will come from that. Krishna's words. Huh? Krishna says to Uddhava, Uddhava, paraswabhava karmani na prashamsadi na nindadi vishwa megalpagam pashyan pragritya purushena cha. He says to Uddhava, Uddhava, it's like this. If you paraswabhava karmani na prashamsadi na nindadi. There is nobody's swabhavam. See, different people do different things in this world. We say, oh, he has done like this, he has done like that. We criticize them, all these things, isn't it? He says, he doesn't know anything. Why has he done like that? We get very fired up about everything. Krishna is saying there, para swabhava karmani, others are swabhavam. That means swabhavam is always different. Everyone's swabhavam is different. So, similarly, their karmam also is different. According to the swabhavam, their karmam. Never ever, he says to Arjuna, to Uddhava, make any comment about it. Paraswabhava karmani na prashamsadi. Never glorify them for what they have done in this world. Which is a very bad thing to do. As soon as somebody does a little, some success happens in life, we all jump upon him and tell him how great he is, how amazing he is, how wonderful he is, this, that and the other. We glorify him to such an extent and eventually we'll fall down. We'll do that to him. That we should not do, Krishna is saying. Never. If somebody has done something, his swabhava has done that. It's nothing to do with him. That's Krishna's attitude. Krishna is saying this to us. Never glorify anyone. We have a tendency in us that we act according to our modes, isn't it? So sometimes you say, or nobody is appreciating me, what I'm doing. People say like this. And sometimes we go and appreciate everybody, and to such an extent that eventually that person gets so puffed up and proud and he falls. And he falls, you are happy. You have done our bit. So that is why Krishna is saying never praise anyone. It may sound a little bit unfair, isn't it, from our point of view. But Krishna's point of view, Krishna says never praise anyone. Never praise anyone. Even among devotees you will notice this. They say, oh, nobody is recognizing my service. Nobody is glorifying my service. This will come sometimes. And therefore we have these appreciation programs and all that. But Krishna is not. But self-realization has to happen. Krishna says, give up that. That business of glorifying others for their work. Why? It is his subhavam that has done it. You have to see from that level, Krishna's level, he is speaking. Similarly, na prashamsadi na nindari. Nindari means you should not also criticize anyone for what they have done. This is subhavam that has done. Why? Krishna says, Vishwam ekalpakam pashyena Uddhava. There is only one thing in this world, the soul. There is no individuals in this world. We think there is individuals everywhere. That's why all this glorification coming from. As far as Krishna is concerned, there is no individuals in this world. There is only soul here. Vishwam ekalpakam pashyena. See that, he says to Uddhava. Prakritya Purushanaja. Prakriti is there, material nature, and Purusha is there, the soul. And then you know what he said? Parasvabhavagarmani ya prashamsadi ya nindadi sa ashubhrashyade swarthal asatyam abhiniveshada. These are very important instructions to Uddhava prior sending him off to Badrinath. He says, keep this in the head. Parasvabhavagarmani, if anybody glorifies others, or if anybody criticizes others for what they have done, ye prashamsadi ye nindadi sa ashubhrashyade. Immediately, yes, when we fall down from the spiritual level, spiritual consciousness, he is not spiritual anymore. Sa ashubhrashyade. Why? Swathala satyam abhiniveshada. Because his consciousness has fallen into abhinivesham. Abhinivesham means he is completely captured by falsity, untruth. Untruth, what is untruth? Because he is speaking from the platform of duality, of dundvam, of duality in this world. So Krishna is saying this to Uddhava. We will not reach that state very easily. We know that very well. It's not possible. But why does he say this? These are small, small sadhana to be practiced in life. We take it in our life and try as best as one could to observe that it will help to come to self-realization. It will help. Because otherwise there was no need for Krishna to speak in this way. It is the very secret of spiritual life, all these things. There are many instances like that in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. We'll talk about that when it comes to that. But if we don't take it, all these things on board, thinking that I'll completely do my sadhana alone and everything will come naturally, it may not come. It may not come. Otherwise, there is no necessity for Krishna to say all these things to Arjuna. So, Swarupam is Purushan and Swabhavam is Prakriti. That's the difference. Swarupam is Purusha, Swabhavam is Prakriti. So, these two things, Swarupam and Swabhavam, is mixed up together. Isn't it? In Bhagavad Gita, there are some verses later which is very interesting. When we discuss that, you will see there, Kshetram and Kshetrajnan. Krishna talks about the field and the node of the field. Two things, isn't it? Kshetram, Kshetrajnan. So these two things are mixed up. Which one? Purusha and Prakriti. And this mixed up condition is called material existence. It's called material existence. You know, samsara. Samsara means this. Samsara means material existence. We sing this song, isn't it? Samsara dhavan analita loka pranaya karunya gnanakanattam. Of course we sing thinking that that is glorification of spiritual master who has actually enlightened us with the knowledge of the soul. With the knowledge of the soul. So, Swarupam, Swarupam, we are unable to separate the Swarupam from Swabhava. This is what's happening to us at the moment, isn't it? So, we normally are not conscious of the Swarupam. We are conscious of the Swabhavam. We are conscious of the Swabhavam. Always it is Swabhavam that is in our thoughts. In our thoughts. Never the Swarupam. Swarupam, if only somebody tells you about your Swarupam, you may for a second think, oh, I have a spirit soul, is it? But if you observe carefully, in all your life, throughout the day, while dealing with this world, it is your Swabhavam you are conscious of, not the Swarupam. At any time, you are not conscious of your Swarupam. You are always conscious of your Swabhavam. What does that mean? Our body, mind, intelligence, false ego, all of these things is our Swabhavam. That's what we are conscious of the thing. But behind all these things, without undergoing any change, just as a witness, who is pure consciousness, pure knowledge, and who illuminates the body, illuminates the mind, illuminates the intelligence, that is what is Swarupam does. While we are dealing with this world, while we are conducting our vyavaharam in this world, or when we are living in this world, in our interactions with this world, we are only conscious about our Swabhavam, body, mind, intelligence, ego, everything. But all that is happening because behind that there is the who is illuminating all this, body to function, mind to operate, intelligence to think, false ego to function. All of these things are happening because of the presence of that Swarupam behind us. So, we think like this, even small children will understand this. We have this body, inside and there is a mind. The mind is creating a lot of thoughts inside, and some thoughts comes to this mind, and there is the intelligence which separates the thoughts inside the mind. My intelligence decides these thoughts can come, these should not come. So, in the middle of that, something that influences that intelligence, which is the false ego. That's how it works, isn't it? False ego influences your intelligence. Intelligence influences the mind. So, and behind that false ego is that Swarupam who is observing everything. Depending on your false ego, your intelligence will also change. You have to take that seriously because Krishna's words that is, according to the false ego, your intelligence will also change. Someone who has very strong false ego, you will see his intelligence works in one level. And another person who has more freedom from false ego, he is more in the sattugunam, his intelligence will operate. One whose intelligence is, pride is very high, who has more demonic nature, his intelligence will be in the mode of passion and ignorance. Isn't it? So those who has got the freedom from false ego, Sattva Samshuddhi it's called in the Bhagavad Gita. In Bhagavadam it's called Bhava Shuddhi. One who has got that freedom from false ego, his intelligence will be a purified intelligence. He will operate more in the mode of goodness. So everything is mixed up like this, in this way. So, that Swarupam which is inside, who is witnessing everything, he does not involve in anything. Everything what you see is Prakriti. And the person who sees is Purusha. Everything what you see in this creation is Prakriti. The person who is seeing is Purusha. In other words, in Upanishads the words you say that whatever you see is Drishyam. And the person who sees is Drikar. Drikarishyam. Drikarishya Vivekam. There is a book like that. Drikarishya Vivekam. This is Drikar. So everything what you, person who is seeing is Swarupam, and everything what you see is actually Swabhavam. Isn't it? Everything what you see in this world is a svabhavam of the people, of the different living entities. So, that's okay. This is not a philosophy alone, it is just the experience. So, suppose I've talked to you about Vaikuntha planets. What happens in Vaikuntha? I've explained everything to you, I've spoken about Vaikuntha to you, you've heard everything. But that is a topic what you cannot see. You cannot experience Vaikuntham here, can you? Although we may say the temple is a Vaikuntham and all that, you may say like that, but sometimes temple is not Vaikuntham. We say in a, it is spoken in a particular way, temple is Vaikuntham, yes. But the reason is that it becomes a Vaikuntham when there are devotees of that nature, of the Vaikuntha caliber, then it becomes a Vaikuntham. Otherwise it's not Vaikuntham. So what it is here is that it is not an experience at that time, but here in this world, Swarupam doesn't change. Swarupam doesn't change. Because Swarupam is that consciousness, awareness, which is a witness of everything what is happening in this world. Who is witnessing that all the time? He doesn't change. He doesn't change. And therefore, Swarupam is considered to be Satyam, the truth. Swarupam is considered important because of this. Just like, as I mentioned before, Vaikuntham I can explain, you have to accept it on its value, based on the words. Vaikuntham is like this, Vaikuntham is like that. That you don't know, I don't know. But Swarupam, everybody can accept without difficulty. Why? Because all living entities have their swabhava, their nature. Behind that swabhavam, there is this swarupam. Without that swarupam, swabhavam cannot function. Swabhavam is jadam, swarupam is satyam. Due to the presence of swarupam only, swabhavam is able to operate in this world. So, here, swabhavam continuously changing. Everyone's swabhavam is changing. Therefore, it is mithya, false. It is false. So, therefore, what does liberation means? Mukti or moksham is not actually talking about going to Vaikuntham or Kailasam. On the other hand, right here, if you find out your swarupam, that is liberation. Mukti tek tanyadharupam swarupena vyavasthiti. Bhagavatam says that. Somehow or the other, sometime when we, for example, in the Ramanuja tradition, they will talk about Vaikuntham, glorifies Vaikuntham, Narayana there, Vaikuntham, Lakshmi Devi there, Adishesha there, and Vaikuntha planets, everything is spoken there. In the Vaishnava tradition, Gaudiya Vaishnava tradition also, we talked about Golokam, Krishna's planet, and Radharani gopis, and all the activities in the Golokam. Right now, we don't know anything. We only accept it on the value what has been spoken by the Acharyas. But if you look at it this way, that the swarupam here, you can't deny it. You can't deny it. It's there, right now, here, right now. You hold that swarupam inside that which is unchanging. And what is changing in this whole creation is the swabhavam of everybody. Everyone's swabhavam is changing here. So realizing that swarupam first, finding out, that is known as mukti. So here, at the moment we only know the swabhavam, not the swarupam, isn't it? We know our body, our mind, our intelligence, but we don't know about the soul. We don't know about the soul. instead of we are speculating about back to home, back to Godhead, that may be, it may look attractive. Or it may give you a temporary relief here, that after death I'm going back home, back to Godhead. It may give you some relief and all. But from practical point of view, that the mind, intelligence, false ego, everything we are experiencing, but we don't see the background of all that, which is consciousness. Background of everything, which is consciousness. Mukti means in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the second canto, you can see this. What does liberation mean? It says there, Mukti Tetva Anyabhava Rupam Swarupena Vyavasthiti. This is how Sukadeva Goswami talks about Mukti liberation. Sukadeva Goswami didn't say about Golokam or Vaikuntham or anything as Mukti. He didn't say that. What he said was, Mukti Tetva Anyabhava Rupam. That means if we manage to free ourselves from the anyadha rupam, that means what we are not. What we are not, that's what we are at the moment, isn't it? Anyadha rupam. That means we have identity with the body, identity with the mind, identity with the intelligence. All these things, if you give it up, these are all anyadha rupam. Tetva, if you give up all that way and come to your swarupam, Surubena Vivastiti, Krishna Sudeva Goswami calls that as mukti. As mukti or liberation. Mukti or liberation. So in the light of Srimad Bhagavatam, as Bhagavatam is saying, that mukti tyakt anyadha rupam surubena vivastiti. So we will what is to be realized at that stage is this body, this mind, this intelligence, all of these things are like the, in that consciousness, from that swarupam, all this swabhavam has come. All this, so just like the bubbles that's coming in the ocean. From the same water, it develops into foam, into bubbles, and into waves, in different shapes it comes out, and but they don't stay, they all go, disappear at the end, isn't it? They all go back. But what is stable always is the water in the ocean. The, similarly, the consciousness in which all this is happening, that consciousness, pure consciousness, that is called bodham, avabodham. It is mentioned as avabodham. That is in there, that is the only reality here. That bodham means that living force, the soul, chaitanyam, that's the only reality here. In that chaitanyam, just like waves comes in the ocean, all these different forms and names are appearing here. And they have their own individual subhavam, each one of them. And but they all keep changing. And so what we are perceiving here in this world is so many names and forms here in different body, mind, intelligence, false ego, and that you can experience here while the consciousness is present behind it. Not by logic, but by direct experience. So only what you can today, here, in this world, at this moment, all you can experience is Swarupam. Realize here is the Swarupam. And when you realize Swarupam, you know that Swabhavam doesn't exist. Swabhavam has no reality, like Purusha and Prakriti. Purusha is the only reality. Prakriti is also not a reality. Swabhavam eventually will go from everyone. Everyone it will go. Because when you drop all your vasanas inside, impressions inside, or vasanas inside, your swarupa, swabhavam has changed, gone completely. We have this swabhavam or nature in us due to vasanas inside. Once you have exhausted all the vasanas inside through bhakti or kama yogam or jnanam, whichever way it happens, all the vasanas are gone, then what is left over is only your swarupam, nothing else. So that is why it says here, Muktihi Tanyadharubam Swarupena Avastiti. Swarupam, in other words, once you have realized the self, everything is consciousness, pure consciousness, Bhotamayam, or Chaitanyam, or living force, Atma, nothing else. Ishavasamidam Sarvam, Yatkinja Jagatyam Jagat, Tena Chaktena Bunjira, Magrada Kasu Siddhanam. So, and in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the same mantra has changed into Alpavasamidam Vishwam. That's all it is. Ishavasamidam Sarvam. Bhagavatam says that Alpavasamidam Vishwam. That's how it says here. Upanishad says Ishavasyam. And wherever Upanishad says, wherever Upanishad says Alpa, Bhagavatam says Ishwara. There. Bhagavatam says Ishwara there. Wherever Bhagavatam says Ishwara, in all those places Upanishad says Atma. Upanishad says Atma. once Upanishad once used the word Ishvara, immediately Bhagavatam uses the word Atma. There. They are the same thing, one the same thing, but from two different levels we are talking about it. Jnani will address it as Atma, devotee will address it as Ishvara. That is the difference between the two. Ishvara and Atma is one and the same thing. So, if you have found the Atma, you have found Ishvara. If you have found the Atma, you have found the Ishvara. If you have not found your Atma, the soul, you have not found Ishvara. You have not found Ishvara. Whatever form Ishvara has appeared in front of you, none of them is the truth. Because form will come and disappear. After a while it will disappear. No form will stay. That is why realization of the self is important. Because only that is a reality. The other things are, like for example, many, many devotees have many, many darshan visions in their life, isn't it? In their advanced state of consciousness, they will see. But none of them will stay. They will all come and go, come and go, come and go. None of them will stay. But if you realize it, the soul inside, Atma, then your self-realization makes it complete. That is proper realization. Proper realization. So, whatever that appears in other forms in front of us and through our eyes, visible to our eyes, that is not reality. That's not reality. Because it will come and it will go. Real truth, bodham, awareness, is not something that will disappear. It has to stay. So, the something, what is always existing, what you will never lose, and who is a witness of everything, and who is inside us. That is that reality. Akkanaladi veli okke grihikkim. Alright, that is a statement there. The eyes are seeing with the help of the light. Eyes are seeing every object in this world. The eyes see. Does the eyes see? No. Eyes don't see. Who sees them? The mind is seeing through the eyes. So, the mind is able to see through the eyes. If the eyes on its own, suppose a dead person lying there, he has got his eyes, he can't see anything. Why? Because he has no mind behind it. If you need the mind to experience anything, isn't it? So, in order to see something, you need the eyes. But behind the eyes, the mind should be there. But if you have the mind, can you see? No. So, there is something behind the mind which keeps that mind functioning while it is seeing the objects through the eyes in this world. Eyes in this world. So, so even if you have, only if you have the mind you can see. But without the presence of the soul, mind also cannot see anything, nor the eyes can see anything. So, this is why it is said here that Maya's potency, while talking about this, the way it happens is that from Maya, three forms it appears in 8th chapter. In the Bhagavad Gita you will see there, Omkaram, Om, letter. From Omkaram, it develops into three ways. What is that three things it forms? One, the world, what is existing. And another one, me, I am existing. And then there is God existing. These three things, whichever religion you take in this world, you will find these three things. The world, me and God. These three things. That is how these three things will be discussed in all religions. Jiva, Jagat and Ishvara. You have to talk about all these three things. In all religions they do. So therefore, this is from most of the religions begin from there. From that point. God, world and me. God, world and me. Because in order to, people who are not conscious of a higher understanding of things, they will start their life from this level, from this state. God, world and me. This is how we begin our spiritual life, isn't it? So, because they will have a lot of questions when they come to spiritual life, we have to create a lot of stories for them, to tell them. So, therefore, creation has been discussed. Creation, you will see, in Bible it is spoken one way, Quran it is spoken another way, and in the Puranas it is spoken in another way. Creation is spoken in different ways, according to the way. So which one is correct if you ask, what will you answer? It's a difficult situation, isn't it? So that is why we have to see the way the Rishis have put it to us, that the thing what you are experiencing as creation itself is not a truth. Somewhere in the middle, you are caught up, you are coming, and you are asking questions. Prabhupada used to say, don't start asking questions after reaching page 3, he said. Sometimes people used to ask questions, firing questions one after the other. Prabhupada said, you read all the books first and understand what the philosophy is all about, and then you can ask, but don't keep on asking questions. So, but when somebody comes to spiritual life, first there will be a lot of questions, isn't it? Question after question, they'll fire away. And then, so you've got to answer something. He'll ask you, where did this world come from? That's how you will start with. And then he will compare that with the scientist's conclusion and try to convince you that the scientists are right. And then the devotees will say, no, we also got this Big Bang theory and all that kind of things. Anyway, what I'm saying is that in order to satisfy some people, we have to give them some answer. So therefore, creation process and all that, you cannot give too much importance to it. Too much importance to it. So, Brahma, there is a story about all this creation also, a lot of funny stories in the Puranas about creation. So, Brahma created living entities in different forms. First he created with the earth, and he wanted to give life to it. One day Narada Maharshi went to see Lord Brahma, and Brahma was in a very desperate situation. He was sitting there. Narada Maharshi asked him, my dear father, what's the problem? What's wrong with you? Brahma says, why should I say? I have, what can I tell you, he said. He said, I created so many people, but while creation was going on, I forgotten to put some intelligence to one or two people's heads. He said, I forgot to put it in, he said. So, you go to the earth now, and I'll tell you who they are. Go and see how they are living there, because I've forgotten to put any intelligence into their head. So, Narada Maharshi comes here. Maybe I'm thinking now, he was feeling very depressed, Brahma, thinking that maybe they will be suffering a lot because they didn't have the intelligence. So he comes to the earth. This is all in the Purana, these stories. Narada Maharshi comes here, and then he is for them, those people who didn't have the brain, and he goes back and he says to them that he goes back to them and says to Brahma, they haven't done too bad. They're all into politics, he says. Some of them are even ministers, he says. Because there is no intelligence in their head, they manage to get there. They have no problem, they are very well. They are doing very well in the earth, he said. So, in 7 days, Brahma created them with the clay and sent them here. And sent things like that. So many things are there in the Purana spoken. In another place, you see in the Bible it says, let there be creation, there was creation. It happens. There's a statement like that in the Bibles, isn't it? So, all these things, and in another place, we'll say from the soul, sky has come from the sky, the air has come, air has come, fire, water has come from water, earth has come. So, and from there all the other living entities come, and from, we have eaten that food, aushadhi it is called, eaten that, and Purusha was born, living entities have come from that. Sa edasmat atmana agacha sambodhamha. Taittiriya Upanishad says like this. Annan purushaha sahava esha purushaha Like this, in step by step, it is spoken in the Upanishads about it. After saying all these things about the world, about the creation, similarly, they have to talk about who is Ishvara, who is the controller. And we also say that it is Ishvara who is creating all these things. So, Satyam Jnanam Anandam Brahma, that is how Ishvara is defined in the Upanishads. Okay, when we say that, we cannot understand him in terms of these qualities of Satyam, Jnanam, truthfulness, knowledge, eternity and all that things. But then we said that we gave the form, conch shell, disc, lotus flower, everything in a form. We started accepting Sagunam, that has come from that. And many forms have been created in this way. God's form has been discussed. Some people don't accept the form, some people do accept the form, and there is differences in the form of God, all these things. So, in different religions, different books have come like this. Similarly, living entity situation also. We have also given the identity of sinful activity, pious activity, and hellish planets, all these things to the living entity also. So, Ajahn Swami says here that all these things practically, he says there, he is very emphatic about this. He says when the child wants to sleep, the mother will tell stories to him. Mother has to tell stories to the child. And once upon a time, one mother was telling a story to the child. He kept saying the story, and the story, there is no logic or anything. The story goes like this. The woman was barren. And she had three children. And he keeps, the child is listening. Child is saying, continue, continue. He's sleeping. He says, go on, saying the story. And he says to him that she had three children, but out of that, one child had no intention to take birth. The other two has come from the, and one child did not enter into the womb of the mother. And one child never came out of it. In other words, neither of the three were born. But he says the mother had three children. And then he says here, all three of them went on a pilgrimage. All this. Now, if you ask the logic, there is no logic in any of these things, isn't it? A barren woman cannot have children, number one. Number two, according to the story, the child never came out of the womb, it stayed in the womb. The child who is listening to the story is not asking any questions. All he wants is he wants to keep on hearing the story. Whether it is correct or not, whether it is possible or not, all these things is immaterial to him. He just wants to hear. That's all. So then he says that they, all three of them together went on a pilgrimage. And when they looked, they didn't have it. They took the sky and started dressing. They used it as a dress. And then they plucked some flowers from the sky and put it on their head. And they built one bow with the horns of the rabbit. Rabbits have no horns. And it says the horns rabbits, they prepared a bow. And they put it in their hand. And they were going through the going through a desert. And they were very, very... suddenly they saw in the desert, it's a huge desert, right in the middle of the desert, they saw a huge lake and plenty of trees and full of vegetation, everything. And they got into that lake and bathed themselves there. Like it's a story, she keeps on talking. The mother is talking. At some point, the child will fall asleep and mother will stop the story and she will go. Isn't it? This is to say, when we study Shastram, we should know why we are studying Shastram. If we go into the details to understand, what does it help you, how this creation has come? It doesn't help anybody, isn't it? Ajahn Swami is saying there, don't worry about all these things. These are not the important issues. Important issue is how to realize the self. That is more important. So in Puranam and all, you will find a lot of descriptions which may not match with the other scriptures in this world, like Bible or Quran or anybody. And if you start thinking that mine is correct, yours is wrong, we have to fight on this issue. It won't help anywhere. So the point is here that the child needs to know certain things because he has to fall asleep. Mother will tell the story to satisfy the child. Beyond than that, there is no more importance to it. Child is not interested in the sequence or in the reality of the story. Child has no interest in that. All he wants is he wants to hear a story, so that he can sleep. He can get sleep. You can see some of these children's books, what the Roald Dahl and others wrote. You take and read it sometime for fun. You will see unbelievable things they write. Harry Potter, all that things. Like that. Unbelievable things they write there. But children like it. Why? Because they like it. That's all. That's what they want. For them, intelligence is not so important. They get some gratification from that. Isn't it? So similarly, all this creation process and things like that, they in itself is not the goal. Sometimes when you see devotees getting so concerned about the creation, you start wondering, how does it affect him? He's only here for 50, 60 years, he's gone. And the creation has been going on like this. Where this has come from? He wants to get all these things before he accepts Krishna consciousness. And that's not very intelligent thing. Right now, we have got only a small amount of time here. In this small amount of time, how close we can get to the reality of the soul? Because that is where that spiritual discrimination or spiritual understanding of life has to be there. To understand that the goal of everything is to realize the truth, to self what we are. If we know that, that is why. So the idea of saying all this, somehow or the other, to bring the child's attention to focus and to bring it into a concentrated state. So therefore it is actually something that has no reality. What can you give any reality to it? For example, creation. Take for example. Is this creation permanent? It's changing. Constantly changing. Now you are asking, where did all this come from? 5,000 years ago, what happened in this creation is not today. Doesn't exist today. The rivers have changed. The mountains have changed. And civilizations have come and gone. It has all affected this creation. So what are you asking about creation? Which creation are you talking about? That is why, nasato vidyade bhavo nabhavo vidyade sadha ubhayorave drishtvandam stanayor tattu darshavi. Rishis, sages, have not given any importance to this creation. They don't value it because it's changing all the time. You are after truth, that thing which doesn't change. What is real? That's what the inquiry is after. So that is why it is mentioned here. In order to find out, if you want to understand this creation, there is only one way you can understand this creation. Who is seeing this creation? That is what you have to ask the question. That is where the truth is. The person who is experiencing the creation is reality rather than the creation itself. In the beginning of spiritual life, we give importance to the creation. But as we come to understand the truth, you will notice that who is experiencing the creation. And if he has realized the reality of himself, who he is, then he has understood the reality of creation as well. He has understood it. So, prapancham, this creation is like swabhavam. Remember, we are talking about swarupam swabhavam. This creation is like swabhavam. It is not swarupam. It is not swarupam. So prakriti or material nature, it has no real existence. It has no real existence. So the whole reality of material nature is in the person who is experiencing the prakriti. Who is experiencing the, or one who is seeing the prakriti. It is there, the reality. Reality is in the person who is seeing there. So, prakriti, material nature on its own, has no reality. The person who is seeing the material nature, he is the real thing. He is the one. So that is where the attention should be. We experience the world, all of us who are in this world, we will experience this world in different way. Isn't it? In different way. According to our senses. 5 senses. Seeing, touching, smelling, tasting, hearing. All these 5 things. And all of us have different capacities for that. And depending on the material nature, depending on the modes where you are coming into contact with it, You will all experience it in different ways, the same world. Same world will experience. This is our world. This is what we call as the world. Basically, what is world? World is these five things, isn't it? Tasting, smelling, hearing, seeing, and touching. That's all. World is, that's finished with the world. So, and similarly, and we called it as experience here, it says world. We call it as world. World. There are some other living entities who doesn't have all the five senses. Ekakoshaji, they call it. They got a few cells in their body. They don't have all the senses like we have five. We have five. So their world is different than our world. Is it not? Their world is different than... Some of them have got only one sense. And they cannot have everything like the way we do. Hearing, tasting, smelling, all of that. That world doesn't exist for them. The world they see is different. Similarly, the world, what the plants and trees they see, they're also different. For the plants and the trees, motorways and tube and all doesn't exist. Isn't it? They stand in one place. So their world is what the world that tree is experiencing around him. Is it not? The rain, the sun, that's its world. Its world is that the rain and the sun and the wind, what it's experiencing day after day after day. That's its world. Our world, because we are moving around, we have a human society, have a different world, perception of the world. Animals have another world they live. So whose world is real? This question we have to ask. That's why it says that. So their experience is also different. So sometimes smaller, we get involved with them, this population and all that, isn't it? Now recently there was a 7 billion, who were the child who was the 7 billion child who was born. They were very concerned about that, who that is. The thing is that there are other living entities in this world who creates billions and billions here. And they don't take account of all these things like we do. So, in fact, if you go by majority, like in the election, based on the living entities, they will win the election because they create so much more than us in population-wise. So, our law, they will say, from their point of view, the world we are experiencing, they will say, is false. Their world is true. They will experience like that. So, here, this is the reason. In this world, what we are experiencing, whose world is true? Whose world is true? So, there is no answer to that question. So, everybody, therefore, create their own perception of this world. And like a story, they go on. And then if you ask the question, there is nothing real in this world? Yes, there is something that is real in this world. What is that real thing? The soul. Soul is the only real thing in this world. And we should not simply say that we are experiencing the glories of that soul or Krishna. Devotees call, address that soul as Krishna. And get carried away by that, but we should find out that is self-realization. That is self-realization. If you don't do that, if you don't realize the self, what will happen is, you will continuously wander around in this world. Simply wander around in this world, continuously asking questions without any answer. You will not get any answer to any of those questions. Because vastu is only one thing. And that vastu has turned into these three. What is that? The world, Ishvara, the God, and the living entity, Jiva. Jiva, Ishvara, and Jagat. Three things. It is that one thing that has split into these three. This is the Upanishad's understanding. This is Upanishad's understanding. The substance is one, Brahman, consciousness, awareness, the soul, that is split into these three as Jiva, living entity, world, Jagat, and Ishvara, the God, controller. In that way, it is split into three. And out of these things, the Jiva has become Ahangaram, false ego, has turned into Ahangaram. Ahangaram is the Jiva, Jagat, Ishvara, and this Krishna, who is present as Ishvara, and is witness inside as Sakshi, isn't it? As a super soul whom we address as that. So, what is happening is that we go away from the Sakshi as a witness and identify ourselves with the false ego. So, that person who is controlling inside our false ego, and that power which controls our false ego, we consider that as Ishvara. Consider it as Ishvara. And we start thinking that Prakriti, material nature, is real, and this false ego wanders around in this material nature and suffers there. Where is the shelter here? When he comes to take the shelter of that soul inside. Soul inside. Sakshi, witnessing. Finding out the witness means that Bodham. Bodham must come to him. And it is at that time, when that inquiry becomes very strong, that is when Krishna comes in the form of a spiritual master and instructs him and reveals this absolute truth unto him. And he will know at that time that the whole cause of distress, because this wandering around in the material nature of the individual soul, which is jiva or false ego, is our misery, is the misery what we are experiencing. It is at that time that the spiritual master speaks to him and make him, convince him and makes him realize it, that that thing what you are looking for is actually inside you. That is what that famous Upanishad statement called Tattvamasi. Tattvamasi comes from that. So, in other words, it is that awareness or bodham that is where all these things are happening inside. So, we will stop there. Meet after 15 minutes. Continue with it. Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Krishna Hare Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare.
So in the Upanishad's point of view, what exists is this awareness, this consciousness. That is what is important. So, and that is the Adhishthanam. Adhishthanam means the basis on which everything is happening there, in that. So once that realization happens, then the world doesn't exist. And also Jiva doesn't exist. And our concept of God also changes from that point, because it is from this awareness that all this creation has come. And Jiva, Jagat, Isharan, these three different entities, God, me and the world, these three perceptions has come from that original consciousness, pure consciousness, it has happened. So, it is many other things has also born in the same way. Like false ego, Jiva has become the false ego. And similarly, intelligence mind is an undefinable energy that's coming from the chit shakti, from inside on the soul. And this way, originally there is only one thing that has expanded into many. One has become two, two has become three. And if there are two things, there has to be three as well. Because there are two things, somebody else which is witnessing those two must be a third existence. So, this is what is known in the Vedantam, it is called Kalpana. Kalpana means, due to our weakness in our mind and the heart, we need to project something and create another thing, what doesn't exist in reality, in order for us, our mind to digest, to accommodate that. That's what's called Kalpana. Kalpana, Kalpana Matram. Everything is Kalpana, they say. Kalpana is like this, that there's only one consciousness, pure consciousness existing. From there, several things have come. World has come. And the person who is perceiving the world, which is Jiva, has come. And then, in order that, in the early states, we create Ishvara, a God, who is keeping an eye on us, what we are doing here. And he decides, you are always frightened about him. It is in the Bhagavatam, all these things. If you read Bhagavatam, you will know these things. Yavatsal asudandartam tavad isharato bhayam. If you are always thinking like this, he says you will always be in fear, always frightened. Yavatsal gunavaishamyam tavad nanatva maipana. Nanatva vatno yavat paranandram tadayohi. Krishna says to Uddhava. Uddhava, it is like this. Yavatsal gunavaishamyam. When there is unbalance in the material modes of nature, immediately you will experience this nanatvam. Nanatvam means diversity in the creation. Yavatsyal gunavaishamyam tavan nanatvam atmana. But where is this diversity happening? In the soul, which is not diverse, which is one. In that soul, awareness, consciousness, you will impose diversity there and create multitude of living entities in the names and forms, whatever according to your mind. These are very subtle verses spoken in the Bhagavatam. You have to read it and think and analyze it in your own way and make it your own realization. There's no other way. By me saying this, it may not may have its impact. Only if you read it in the Bhagavatam, it is in the 11th canto, 10th chapter. Yavatsyal gunavaishamyam tavan nanatum atmana. Why do I experience this variegatedness in this creation? Nanatum. Where did this come from? Atmana. In the soul, it has happened. Soul didn't happen. We perceive it like that. Gunavaishamyam. The reason for that is according to the different modes of material nature. Gunavaishamyam it's called. Changes in the modes of material nature. Nanatvam. Nanatvam atmano yavat. As long as this nanatvam is there in us, this perception of the variegatedness in the creation, parandram tadevahi. Parandram means you are under the control of the God. You know this principle is very strong in every religion, isn't it? God is there. He's always keeping an eye on you. That's how they frightened us all. All religions, it has happened. They frightened us to death. Right. Some people are very good at it. Some people are less strong. And they frighten you with that. God is watching you. Be careful. He's keeping an eye on you. So we always think. And sometimes, then we say, oh, he's not seeing anything. He can do something without him. No, that's the next thing. What do we do after that? It's enough. So that's not how Vedic philosophy is not like that. This is in an average level. For average person, that is necessary. In that state, it's necessary. Initially when one comes, who has no fear of God, who has no feeling for anything, he has to frighten him out first to make him agree. So you frighten him first with all these ideas of the... But that's not what... Vedanta is not in that direction. In the beginning it has to be like that. But as you understand the philosophical level, as you progress, you will not... Yavat sel gunaveshamyam dhavan manatum atmana. Manatum atmana yavat. Paratantrayam tadaivahi. Then Krishna is saying to Uddhava, Uddhava, if it is like that, yavat syal asadandratvam tavad ishwarato bhayam. As long as you are asadandrata. Asadandrata means no freedom. You are always feeling you are under the control of somebody. So long as you have that, you have to be frightened of God. This is how God-fearing has come. People talk about it's very God-fearing, they say. It's not a good thing to be frightened of God. If there is a God and you are always frightened of Him, what kind of God is that? What relationship is that? So, yavat sal asodandratum dhavad isharado bhayam, Krishna says to Uddhava. So, Krishna is saying to us, purely from the spiritual platform, He wants us to understand that spiritual reality is the only reality, because everyone Krishna has spoken is from this basis. The truth is spirit, not matter. Not matter. And only spirit exists. Only spirit is the reality. Everything else is false. It is this point that Krishna is stressing in Bhagavad Gita. Krishna is talking about that in the Srimad Bhagavatam also. So here, we were discussing about this, the world, pranjam, creation, doesn't exist when you come to that state of realization. When you come to that state of realization. So, initially, I am separate, the world is separate, God is separate, and world, we will create our own ideas about the world. We will say, world has been given to us to enjoy. This is another perception, isn't it? People say like that, oh, Krishna has put us here so that you can go and enjoy as much as you want. That's what, Krishna is giving us every facility for us to enjoy. Another misconception from there. And then the way we want to enjoy, that why Krishna says this, why this enjoyment mood has come? Because you have perceived yourself that you are separate from this world. Separate from this world. So, every time we think that everybody is separate from us, existing separately, God is always living somewhere in His place, He is living there, and He is observing everything what we are doing. So, I am sitting here, God is sitting somewhere else. So, Krishna's in the Kathopanishad says this, so long as you have this perception of God like this, mrityoho mrityu apnodi eva ne neva pashyati. Such a person there is no possibility for him to escape from death. He will die now and then he will take birth, and this cycle will continue for him. Which cycle? Birth and death, birth and death. Because this is how he has understood God. He is thinking that God is sitting there, I am sitting here. And he is always seeing this, that and this is a kind of ignorance. That God is sitting somewhere, I am sitting here. Many of us have that concept, isn't it? In a strong way. That we are thinking, Krishna, I don't think Krishna is anywhere around here. He must be in Golokam, he is enjoying there. And I am here. How did this conception came? This perception has come to us? Because that is how our mind has created this perception in us. In fact, if you understand Bhagavad Gita and study Bhagavatam very well, you will know all that exists is only Krishna. Only Krishna exists. And it is Krishna who is present here, Krishna is present there as well. And as long as we have this perception that God is sitting somewhere and watching us and we are independently working here, Kathopanishad says there, Mrityoho Mrityum Aknodi. He will move from one death to another death, because death is not a reality. Death is not even a reality. Eva neiva pashyati. Death after death will happen to him. And death and birth, this cycle won't stop. And he will never have a permanent state of peace. Permanent state of peace in him. Example, in the dream state, you experienced a lot of distress, for example. In the dream state, you experienced a lot of distress. What is the solution? Suppose you are experiencing distress in the dream state. What is the solution for that? So, for example, in the dream state, you are very poor. You have no money. You are starving. You have no money to buy food. So, I have met a friend of mine and I asked him to lend me £5. He says, no, I can't give you. It's all happening in the dream. He says to me, I can't give you any money, but I don't trust you. You won't give it back to me later. So, I won't lend you any money, he says. So, then I'm crying. Oh, he's a good friend of mine. He doesn't want to give me any money. And while I'm dreaming all these things, suddenly I woke up and fell from the bed onto the ground floor. I fell and I woke up. So there you can see here, I understood that only when I woke up I realized I was not poor, I was not hungry, and I had no friend, and I didn't ask for any money, I didn't get any money. All these things I came to know about all these things only when I came out of the dream, isn't it? So, so now similarly, so in reality you can say that everything was a dream at that time. So there nobody exists there. On the other hand, I'm also sleeping sometime, thinking that all my bank deposit is there. Money in the bank. Suppose somebody wakes you up and asks you, how much money have you got in the bank? You'll be aware, there's so much money is in the bank. It's in the bank. So, so this bank deposit, and with all that bank deposit in the money in the bank, you are suffering in the dream. Imagine that. You had money in the bank, but still you suffered in the dream. Asking, you had to ask your friend, he refused to give you the money, and you felt very bad about it, and you started feeling miserable about life, and all sorts of things has happened. So, so in vacant state, if you borrow some money from somebody, you can pay it back and the account is closed then. But in the dream state, what will you do? Suppose your friend has given you the money, how will you return it? In the dream state, how will you return the money to that person? So there is no solution for that. So all you have to do there is, you don't need to return it, all you have to do is to wake up from that dream. Isn't it? Problem is solved. Problem is solved. That dream state, what misery you have experienced, it is not solved through karma. This is the important point, why what I'm trying to say is this. That in dream state, when you had in a distressful state, It is not by karmam that you got out of the problem. It is through jnanam. Is it not? As soon as you were woken up and you came to become conscious of your reality, you woke up from that dream and all the problems were solved in one stroke. There was no friend, there was no money was borrowed, you didn't have to return it, you don't have to cry, and you were not starving. None of the miseries were there as soon as you woke up from the dream state. Isn't it? So when you woke up, you came to know that there is no debt, there is nobody you have to pay, all these things. Similarly, material existence also, the solution to all the problems for the distress is not through karma. This is the point. Through karma is not the solution to the problem. This is the great misunderstanding we all carry with us. And it is a very important point that unless we come out of it, what happens is we bring the same perception into spiritual life also. You see now, in the material life we think karma is the solution to all the problems. Suppose we have a shortage of money. We have to work hard and earn a lot of money. And we think that it is only by working that I've got all this money. What Krishna is saying here is that, look, your awakened state is not much different than the dream state. Just like in the dream state you can see that you have got out of the problem not by karma, but rather by knowledge, by jnanam. Similarly, in awakened state also, if there is proper jnanam in you, you will realize that jnanam is the solution, not karma is the solution. Karma is a vyavaharam thing. We give undue importance to karma. And that is how the whole world is running on this principle. Karma, karma, karma. Continuously doing, doing, doing. And we have got here after doing so much. This is where we are now. After so many lifetimes, we have done so much. And where we are now. So karma is not a solution to the problem. Jnanam is the solution to the problem. And so right now also, wife, children, wife and children, all of these things, these are temporary. That understanding is not hitting us yet. It's not hitting us yet. Parents, wife, children, home. That reality is not hitting us. So therefore, we put all our effort and energy in the direction of karma, thinking that through karma, I can be happy. But what Krishna is saying here is, through karma, you can never become happy. Permanent happiness won't come from karma. It's only come through jnana. In order to compare that jnana and karma, Krishna is explaining that through jnana you can reach. Because once jnana comes, this problem will never come again. If you are in that state, jnana is the realization, in other words. Karma will not solve the problem. Jnana will solve the problem. It is, you know where this is prominent in the Bhagavadam? In the Srimad Bhagavadam, I mentioned two people, one Parikshit and another one Uddhava. Both these people have no time left in their life. Uddhava was too old, 120 years over plus. And knowing very well, he was not interested in the yogam and karmam and all that. All these things has no interest. So Krishna says to him, Uddhava, don't get involved in any karma. Stop everything and get out of here, he said to Uddhava. To Arjuna, Krishna says, do your karma. So different instructions for different people. See that? Different instructions for different people. That is very difficult sometimes to understand what is the right thing to do. What does Krishna expect us to do? There is no one role for everybody. That is a big mistake, to think that everyone will follow the same pattern of spiritual life and everyone will realize the truth at the same time. Everyone will go back together to the spiritual world. Everyone will become together, there, come together, and everyone will run this life together from there. That won't happen. That's not going to happen. We have all come to the world with a different vasana, different subhavam, and although in surubam level we are all the same, in subhavam, we are all completely different. Completely different. So, here, what Krishna is saying here, that, so, in the Bhagavatam we are talking about, In the Bhagavatam, these two personalities, Parikshit and Uddhava, neither of them had any interest in any of the hearing all these things, what we are talking about. Why? For them, time is more important. Time is of essence. Time is of essence. In other words, for them, self-realization is more important because time is running out. We can't keep talking stories and Puranas and all that thing. There is no time for them. They want it straight away answer. So, Sudeva Goswami, although in the Srimad Bhagavatam all that different things he spoke, on the last day, he made him to sit down and told him that Aham Brahma Param Dhamma Brahma Aham Paramam Padam. You can see those verses, what finally he spoke to Parikshit. You should see finally what has he told him. He told him, you are not this, you are that. And that hit him straight away. But 7 days time was there, so he had to say a lot of things. So therefore a lot of things about creation were spoken. Parikshit is dying in 7 days. What does it matter to him how creation has happened? From there itself you can understand there is no significance. Whole one canto, third canto is all about creation. Part of second canto is also about creation. Now a man who is leaving this world in 7 days time, suppose I am lying in the ICU in Watford General Hospital, I will be dead. Doctor says you have got 48 hours time. You come to the hospital and you start reading from Bhagavatam about creation. Will I listen to you? Will I? What interest would I have if you start reading creation from the Bhagavatam to me? I will be thinking, look Prabhu, you take it home and read it at your own time. I am leaving this world. For me, this creation, what does it matter to me? Because I am finished with the creation, I am gone. So this is the way you have to look at these personalities in the Bhagavatam. Not to think that many of us, we have this problem, we read Srimad Bhagavatam, oh, it's a list of instructions to us. We will just follow instruction after instruction, we like it that way. That way if you study Bhagavatam, you won't make any sense to you. You will get completely confused and then you will eventually put the Bhagavatam out. You won't take anything from the Bhagavatam. But you have to see the people in the Srimad Bhagavatam, devotees in the Bhagavatam, each one of them, what was their state when they left this world? What was the way they reacted with Krishna, interacted with Krishna? What did Krishna tell each one of them what they should do? All these are important for us. They are more important than anything else. So to Parikshit, Sudeva Goswami spoke 6 days different things. On the seventh day, he told him to sit down. He knew. He knew the end is coming. Already Tarshaka was ready to come and finish Parikshit. When he saw that, he says to Parikshit, have you got any more questions to ask? He said, up to that all question and answers went on. He says, no. Then he says, now you sit down. And then Brahmavadesham. That is that 12th canto, 5th chapter, is the final words from Sudeva Goswami to Parikshit. He heard that and he asked him, what do you see now? He says, I only see the self, nothing else. What else do you see? I don't see anything else. I also see you are there, standing there, offering your respects to Krishna. And that he leads the world. That we'll see when you read the 12th canto, we'll come to that. So what I'm saying is, Parikshit left this world in that way. Uddhava situation, 120 years he was with Krishna. Never Krishna thought about discussing Ekadasya Skandam with Uddhava up to that point. Krishna discussed all other things about this Rajasuya sacrifice, about killing Jarasandha. In every instance, Krishna used to discuss with Uddhava various things related with the administration of the kingdom. He used to discuss all that. Never once Krishna talked about the soul, self-realization, everything with Uddhava. But at the last minute, when Krishna realized that Krishna is leaving, and Uddhava came up this question, that Krishna is leaving now, if I should get it now from Krishna's face, this realization. Uddhava asked the question, accordingly Krishna spoke at that time. And Krishna didn't say anything to Uddhava. Uddhava, do this or do that. Do this or do that. Instead, Uddhava was instructed by Krishna only one thing. That is that Krishna says to Uddhava, Tundu sarvam bhare tyajya sneham svajane bandhusho maya vishyamana samyak samadre vijarasvagam. That is the Ekadasya Skandam summary. One verse. Give up everything in this world. No connection with this world. Break up all your connection with this world towards your own people, Yadavas, Rishis, and with everybody whom you see, whatever connection you have, completely close it down, right now. And then, Mayavishyamana, completely absorb in the soul, in me, Krishna says. Samyak, and fix it there. Samadrik, and see my presence in all the living entities, which Krishna explained later on in the Bhagavadam, how to get that. Vicharasvagam, walk away from here. So that's how Uddhava was instructed. Now, these two personalities, because of their urgency, you have to also see the person's situation, isn't it? When you are instructing a 120-year-old person to Uddhava, you cannot start with Karma Yogam now. Karma Yogam is all finished. That should have been done when you had to do it at the right time, when you were engaged in karma. Uddhava's karma is all over. He is ready for going back to the spiritual world. He is leaving his body. So, their instruction has to be on a different level. In the Bhagavadam, there is a third personality who is more interesting than all these things. Chitragedu. You know Chitragedu's story. Both Parikshit and Uddhava have got rid of all their vasanas before they met their spiritual master. When Uddhava met Krishna, Uddhava's vasanas have all gone. Practically, he has completely freed from all vasana. So, he was fully qualified to take this message straight into the heart. Simply by hearing from Krishna, self-realization happened in Uddhava. Similarly, simply by hearing from Sudev Goswami, self-realization happened in Parikshit. Why? Parikshit, in one stroke, he threw away everything from this world and walked out. Isn't it? So, which means, there was the least trace of attachment anywhere in this world. That inside of Parikshit, you can see at that time, that Parikshit had no attachment anywhere in this world. All he wanted to know is that, what is the truth? I am leaving this body. A big, powerful personality, Parikshit, isn't it? Emperor of the planet at that time. All the wealth, all the happiness, palace, and all the facilities, and all the opulences, in one stroke he threw away. And that is vairagyam. That is renunciation. To such a person, if you instruct, the result is instantaneous. Instantaneous. Why? That elevated state of consciousness. Why we don't get any benefit? Because inside us, full of desires, various plan making is still going on. What we should do, how much will I get my pension, or when will I get the pension, when will I retire? So many planning is going on inside. We are not like Parikshit or like Uddhava in any way. So therefore, and it representing us is this story of Chitragedu in the Bhagavad. Chitragedu was a king. No doubt, he was a powerful king, and he had many wives. Many wives. He is an example with a man with the desires. When somebody, suppose Angiras Maharshi or Srinarayana Maharshi comes here and gives us some spiritual instructions, nothing will happen here. We will be as we are. And that's what is Chitragedu did, the same thing. Narada Maharshi, first Angiras Maharshi went there to instruct him on the transcendental knowledge. When he went there, Chitragedu was in a depressed state because he had no children. That was his great depression. He had no children. I don't know what Chitragedu would have said now, but that time Chitragedu was in a depressed state because obviously in that society where he was living at that time, it was an important factor. So Chitragedu says to Angiras, Angiras wanted to speak the knowledge of the soul to Chitragedu. Chitragedu heard everything and he started crying. He says, I have no children, he says. So Angiras Maharshi, you should see in the Bhagavadam how it all spoken. Angiras says, understood, it's no point in talking to him. It's no point in talking to him. This is called Jnatva Abhinivesham. Jnatva Abhinivesham means, if your mind is excessively obsessed with something in this world, you cannot receive the signal of the Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita's knowledge won't work, or Srimad Bhagavatam will not enter inside. So, in Chitragedu's case, that is what has happened. So what did Chitragedu says to him? He says to him that, it's alright, you told me very nice things about the soul and all that, but can you do something to get me a child? I need a son, he says to him. So Angiras understood, there's no point in wasting time with him. Great devotee, He's a devotee, very great devotee, Chitraketu he is. He's a fantastic devotee, very nice devotee, everything. So Angira says to understood that it's no point in talking. So what he wants at the point is child. So he blessed him, he will have a child. But he put one condition, string attached to it. He said, with this child, you will get a lot of happiness, and with the same child, will give you a lot of distress as well at the end. Then he says, doesn't matter, I'll still take it, he said. That's how we are, isn't it? We are like that. You see, if you study material nature very carefully, Krishna has put this condition to us also. He says to us, if you, in this world, under material nature, you cannot have only one. You have to take both. If you want to take happiness, you should be willing to take distress as well. You can't choose there. That's why it's called dvandvam. Dvandvam means duality. You can't have one only, on its own. If you ask for happiness, you should be willing to take distress also. But if you don't want it, either if you don't want any distress, if you don't want any distress, you should be able to give up happiness also in the same way. That is the secret behind it. If you give up happiness, you will not get distress in this world. This is a very the secret of material nature's functioning in this world. If you don't want happiness from this world, you won't get any distress from this world. This is the secret. But what do we do? We want only happiness. We don't want any distress. Krishna says, that's not possible. This is the very underlying principle in Bhagavad Gita. We'll see that later when it comes to that chapters in the end. Krishna talks about that. You cannot have one only. Either you take both or you have none. You have that choice. And we don't want it. We want one only. That's where the problem begins. So, what did he do? Angiras told him, you can't have one. You can't have both. He says, yeah, I'll have both. At least I'll have some happiness, he thought. So he accepted both. And then after a long time, you know that story. It's a very interesting story. Chitraketu had many wives. Other wives got envious with the wife who had the baby. Kritajiti was her name. She had the baby. So other wives got envious of her. And they fed poison to the baby and killed the baby, and the king became in deep distress when the baby died. He cries and all that, and a lot of things happens. A newborn baby didn't live very long, but by then it died. And the king felt extremely unhappy. Both of them were crying and crying, husband and the wife, because of the death of the child. At that time, Angiras Maharshi comes again. This time he brings with him Sri Narada Maharshi also. Both of them together, they go to see him. And they together started talking to Chitraketu. So they said to Chitraketu, last time when I came here, you will not even listen to me. Now I have come again to talk to you. But when he came this time, Chitraketu was very receptive. Why? He needed that dose. Otherwise it won't get in. What can you do? So the whole, he said to him, Angiras told him like this. Angiras says to him, I have brought this Narada Maharshi with me because I know that now you are ready for the message. Narada Maharshi will instruct you about spiritual life. You take it very seriously. Earlier I came to give you, but you didn't take it. You were not willing to listen. Now Narada Maharshi will instruct you. So in 7 days' time, Chitraketu followed that instruction from Narada Maharshi, and he was elevated. He went to Vaikuntha planet, saw Adishesha there. When he went there, Krishna wasn't there. Balram was there. Balram instructed him about transcendental knowledge and sent him as a Vidyadhara here. Vidyadhara. Why was he sent back? That's also interesting. He was sent back because vasanas have not gone completely. You see, when you forcefully send someone to spiritual life, spiritual world like that, before exhausting all his karmavasana inside, the possibility is that he will create trouble there also, in the spiritual world. So, taking exception to that, Balram sent him back as a Vidyadhara. Vidyadhara means, he had a lot of pious activities to his credit.
both pious activities and sinful reactions, when it is completely exhausted, only then the soul is released from the bondage of karma. Otherwise it cannot free itself. Is it not? So all the pious activities are there to his credit, so he has to enjoy. So he sent him back here as Vidyadhara and gave him a lot of a complete singing troupe with him of girls who will sing with him. And he was a musician. Vidyadhara means musician. And he has been given a special aeroplane. Vidyadharas have got special siddhis to travel in the sky freely. And with this group of girls, they were singing and dancing and they were traveling all over the creation. They could travel a lot of places. Vidyadharas have a higher standard of happiness than us lot here. So anyway, with that life, he was sent back here for that reason only. And eventually you can see that he committed that mistake of going and offending Lord Shiva later, because the vasanas are not exhausted inside. He saw Shiva and said, who is this Shiva? What is he like? Then he's sitting there like a uncivilized person, keeping Shri Parvati on the lap. And this is not Lord Shiva. This is, doesn't look. He made some remark there. He goes to see Lord Shiva. And all the great, great sages are sitting there and taking transcendental instructions from Shiva. And our Chitraketu goes there and makes a comment there about all of them. He sees all these fools sitting there listening to him. What kind of instruction is he giving? He says. And then Shri Parvati got upset. Shiva didn't get upset with him. Parvati cursed him and told him that you go, you are not ready for all this kind of situation. Your vasanas are still very strong inside. Send him back into the demon's body, Vritrasura's body. And in that body, he developed spiritual realization and escaped from here. All his spiritual pious activities got exhausted as Vidyadhara, and sinful activities got exhausted as Vritrasura, and eventually he went back to the spiritual world. Now here you see scenarios, different scenarios. Parikshit and Uddhava in one level. Why? Time was short and they had to be released from this world. They had to be released from this world. And they had, compared to Chitraketu, they had no such desires inside. Isn't it? Completely freed from all vasanas. Vasanas have gone with Parikshit. Parikshit's purity inside was so, he was so ready to receive the message simply because the death was waiting at the doorstep for him. That's what made Parikshit to think and become determined. Suppose, just like Arjuna here, when he saw the universal form, immediate reaction in him was fear for Krishna, and also he realized his own limited position. Similarly, Parikshit also, suppose we are told from now on, 7 days time, you will be dead. What will be the main reaction? We won't be concerned about whether we have paid the mortgage or paid the electricity bill or the gas bill. Those things won't be our concern anymore. If 7 days time I am going from here, would I be bothered about all these things? That, how strong it hit Parikshit, you can see there. How strongly it hit him. Parikshit realized that none of this is important for me. Only realizing who I am. What's my identity? Who am I? This question. And Sudeva Goswami, by Krishna's arrangement, came there and spoke Srimad Bhagavatam to him and released him from that situation. How he got released from there. So you can see this depending on the person. The person is important in the spiritual life. It's not only the spiritual master that matters. The disciple does matter. What level the disciple is, accordingly realization also. Parikshit as well as the and Uddhava, both of them. Uddhava, due to his long association, released from that state of world, leaving this world, and that devotion to Krishna, bhakti, Krishna decided to release him from this world due to that state of pure consciousness in Uddhava. So, the important point here was that unless we jnanam is more important than karma. Somehow we have misunderstood. Karma is the solution to all the problem. Karma is not the solution. Like in the dream state, when jnanam happened, you escaped from the miseries of the swapna, dream state. Similarly, in the vacant state also, when there is knowledge, you will release yourself from the miseries. Otherwise, it's not a permanent solution. Through karma, you can't solve the problem once for all. You can temporarily patch up things. But as soon as the results are over, again you are into the same situation. So, when the person woke up from the dream state, he realized only he existed. So, in the dream state, sometimes you experience this, in the dream state, you saw that the elephant was chasing you, you climbed onto a tree, top of the tree, and you tried to escape from there, and suddenly when you wake up from that, there is no elephant, there is no running anywhere, and you are lying in your bed very comfortably. So, in the ignorant state, there will be a lot of distress. There will be many kinds of distress. But once you have realized your Swarupam, Swarupam means your identity, just like in the dreams, it has disappeared everything. Similarly, all this distress, what you are experiencing in the vacant state, will also disappear. All this is spoken to stress the importance of knowing who we are, to realizing the self. So, all the difficulties what we are having is due to our vasanas inside, isn't it? You know the word vasana, what I mean? Vasana means the impressions that's been created inside. So, when we, when all the vasanas are exhausted from inside, all the problems that the vasana creates in us will also go. The problems what we have, what's being created by the vasanas will also go when all the vasanas disappears from inside. So, in other words, once you have realized the self, all these disturbances and distress will go. It is like a fever, jwaram. It's called, Upanishad calls it as a jwaram. Ajnanam jwaram. Almeva meva vijaniyat ayam avasmidi purushaha kimichan kasya kamaya shariram anusanjarem. So, then after that self-realization happened, you won't fear anymore about your own body. You see, at the moment, in order to protect this body, in a very subtle level, we are always conscious of that, how to protect this body, isn't it? Why? Because identification is with the body. Identification is with the body. What Krishna Upanishad says is that, once you have realized the truth, who you are, then you won't be concerned about the protection of the body anymore. Pressure of the body anymore. Then, solution to all the problems is to realize the self, to find out the soul, to realize the self, Atma, or in other words, Swarupam. And what is that thing, what stops us from realizing the Swarupam? That is our Swabhava. This is that relationship between Swarupam and Swabhavam. Jnanis learned this from the early days itself. These two things are separated, Swarupam and Swabhavam. In realizing, the solution to all the problems is to come back to our identity or Swarupam. What is that is stopping us from realizing that Swarupam is our Swabhavam, which means the body, the mind, intelligence, false ego, and all rest of it, all what is. So that is why. Swabhavam means what? The mind. Mind means what? Vasana. These are different terminologies. In substance it is one and the same. Or in other words, what we some people call it as, that is a nature. Because our temporary nature, that is not our real nature. This nature we keep saying about people, or that's his nature we say. What is it? It is a nature of his Swabhavam it is, not the nature of the soul. The real nature of the soul is eternal, blissful, full of knowledge. That is the real nature. These are temporary nature of the soul. So, Ragam, and actually, in reality, that is not our nature. Because Ragam, attachment, Dvesham, hate, aversion, and lust, anger, all these things doesn't exist in us. In the spiritual identity, in Swarupam, none of these things exist. They all exist in the Swabhavam. It exists in the Swabhavam. So, when we woke up from the dream state, when we realized that none of them were real, similarly, at the moment, in the vacant state,
we are thinking that that dream is still permeating, penetrating into us, actually, in the vacant state only, this experience of lust, anger, greed, hate, all these things exist in the vacant state. And that is what is happening in our Svabhavam. It's not happening in the Swarupam. So, where does it exist? You feel angry with somebody or angry with someone. So, we give importance to this. We give importance to that, isn't it? But in the dream state, if you get angry with someone, do you give any importance to it? You don't give any importance to it. So in the dream state, suppose you hated somebody or you punched someone, and would you get up in the morning and go to see him and tell him sorry about that? You don't do that, do you? In the dream state, you don't do that. What I'm saying is that people have always this misconception in their mind. Oh, I'm so bad. I'm such a bad person. I'm getting angry all the time. I hate some people and my mind is very disturbed. All this is happening in your Svabhavam. It's not happening in the Swarupam. If that point is accepted, and that is why it is required, necessary to talk about all these things, because in misunderstanding is a lot inside. In Svabhavam all these things are happening. In Swarupam nothing is happening. There is no hate, there is no anger, there is no ragam, there is no dvesham, nothing there. Similarly, Krishna is saying here, whatever you experience in the dream state, as you hated someone, or you got angry with someone, or you fought with someone, in the when you wake up, you don't go and say sorry to him about what you have done in the dream state. Similarly, in the vacant state also, all this is happening as a dream through us. And unfortunately, what happens is, the mind makes us think that this is all very, very real. And when we surrender to that understanding, that is what it is called Prakriti, or Svabhava, or Manasa, mind, whatever we call it. But you can't change that very easily. This is all knowledge, but at the same time, to bring that into reality is very difficult. So there are many yoga sadhana process spoken, how to bring the mind under control. And in spite of all that, you cannot win over the mind. And Uddhava says this to Krishna, that after Krishna has instructed everything to Uddhava, Krishna says to Uddhava, go and sit alone in solitude and engage in pranayama and chant pranam or om and engage in sadhana like that and practice yoga practices like this. And all these things Krishna says to Uddhava, and Uddhava is a very intelligent person, you know. In the Bhagavatam, Uddhava is addressed as a very intelligent person. Vrishni naam pravaro mandri krishnasya daidasaha Uddhava buddhisattva, it says, buddhisattva. It's a very intelligent person. Uddhava says to him, Krishna, I am 120 years old. Uddhava says to Krishna. Not only Krishna, Uddhava also. How can I practice all this yoga sadhana, what you are talking to me, pranavam, om, chanting om, and sitting cross-legged, controlling pranayama and all that. You are asking the wrong person to do all these things, Uddhava says to Krishna. And it was then that many people have done all these things in the past, and still they have not made it. When I see that, I see no chance at all for me, he says. And it may stay for some time, I've seen many, many yogis. Uddhava says to him, Prayana Pundarikaksha Yoginam Kashinam. Then I've seen many, many yogis like this, nothing has happened, he says. It is then Krishna talks to Uddhava about it later. We'll talk about that tomorrow. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.